Hello, Nicholas.
Hello, Button Ferretti.
Welcome to the Nerdy Legion.
With your host, Button Ferretti.
And Nick Wetmore. Take a seat on this comfy, comfy couch.
Slip into the banana hammock. There's room for three.
Left ball, right ball, penis.
Oh, God, how do I even follow that up? Wow.
What an introduction, Nick.
I'll say we are professional. It only took how many episodes? It only took that many.
230-something episodes.
Holy cats.
By the way, that was not planned. We don't plan anything on this show.
No. The Google Doc was thrown out the window.
Yes. Along with the Google.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is up, Nick?
Man, can I tell you, I don't know how it is in your nape of the neck. This week, first time we flipped on the air conditioning. It's a little hot. Not hot, but
it's hot.
It's like muggy. It's gross.
Man, let me tell you, I have the worst allergies here.
Oh, no.
There is pollen up the ass.
Wow.
And this week it's been like in the 80s.
Is it just like you forgot that you had bad allergies, or like it's for whatever reason worse?
So I started getting allergies a couple years ago, but this year, man, holy balls, it's bad.
Yeah, I had allergies around college, and then it shifted to seasonal, like in between the seasons allergies. Now it's pretty much I get them every season. Welcome to all year round. Mm. And the problem is every year, like I only take over the counter if I have to. But whatever I'm taking that year, all of a sudden fall could hit and that medication doesn't work anymore. So then I have to buy another medication and keep searching around to figure out the medication that it will work for the fall, winter.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden the spring hits and it's like, oh, I better try something else again.
So I take Zyrtec.
Oh, okay.
It is the tiniest pill in the world.
Yes.
But it works good.
It's pricey too, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for such a small pill. It's like, wow, that thing's expensive.
Yeah, it's like a dollar a pill.
Yeah, but it works.
It works it's great. Cool. And it's 24 hours too.
When it does work, it works great. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, like, oh, like this seasonal hit, and instead of Zyrtec, it'll be like, okay, Benadryl works now, great. Or yep. I can even swap it out and go to like the no-name Walgreens version.
Yeah. And
for whatever reason, now that'll work. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Dang it. Dang allergies. Get out of here.
This episode of the Nerd Legion brought to you by Zyrtec and our newest sponsor, Nick, Hydroquinine.
Ooh.
Get yours today.
That sounds yummy.
Mm.
Yes. Hey, and also, attention, everyone. Nerdy Legion retraction.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I believe it was last episode, I was telling you how in these times, I don't want to play any more violent games. Get those violent games out of here. I want a different mindset. You know what happened?
Mm.
I discovered through comics, I can have a different mindset. And you know what I can go back to?
Jesus.
No. I can go back to a Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, and shoot fools in the face. And it makes me feel oh so good.
See, that's interesting because I find in these strange times, the more dystopian, post-apocalyptic, murderous something is, the better.
You want to play a zombie game?
Oh, all the time.
Yes, yes.
All the
time.
Well,
you are an essential employee, so it's just like you and 30 people walking around towns.
Oh, man, don't remind me. Don't remind me. I had to cancel an interview today because of work.
Oh, that stinks.
I was going to interview an editor about an upcoming book. That was going to be, we rescheduled, so we're still going to do it.
Sure.
But a slightly divisive book.
Oh.
And, hot take. I was not a big fan. So, that's going to be an interesting discussion.
Is it Is it a Barbarella book?
It is not.
Since it's controversial, I'm thinking it's Barbarella, Jane Fonda.
It is not.
Plastic see-through outfits, flying through space, undressing.
So, I mean, I don't want to spoil what book it is. If you follow these things, maybe you can figure it out. Valiant's putting out a new book soon. And, What's that?
That just narrowed everything right down, didn't it?
It sure did. Mm-hmm. They're putting out a new book soon, and I got a chance to read a copy of it. I was approached about interviewing the editor because I had expressed some
misgivings.
Okay, sure, we'll go with that.
Thank you.
And so I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. I was like, can I get a copy of the book so I can read it, even if it's not finished? Like, I don't care, right? Just so I can see it. And I read it, and I made sure I ran it by my contact to make sure that there was an understanding that I was not a fan of this book when we had this discussion.
The art's great. But that's good, though, I would think. Mm. You want differing opinions.
Of course.
Or at least you want to hear the other side.
Well, and lucky for me, apparently I do an okay enough job in interviews where I can present a counterpoint without seeming like an asshole. Who would have thunk it?
I like that. Actually, the Nerdy Legion, I don't know if you've ever heard of this podcast, the Nerdy Legion podcast is doing the same exact thing. One host of the, I don't know if you've heard this podcast, one host doesn't like what Ed Brisson's been doing at Marvel. The other host loves what he's been doing at Marvel.
Mm, it's true. I hear that. I haven't heard this podcast yet, but I've heard this.
It's very good. You should go and read his Ghostwriter.
Yeah.
And then read his X-Force.
Oh, interesting.
Both fantastic.
Really?
Could it be that one of the hosts has rose-colored glasses, and just because Warpath Nate Summers is in the book, can look past Boom Boom being in the book? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Sorry, Rob Krieger.
So is this as divisive a topic as hot tamale, fierce cinnamon peeps?
Oh, golly.
Is that what this is? Is that where we're going?
You know what? When both of us pass and we're in connecting graves that will have, of course, headstones right next to each other, even though we have been cremated, but just empty headstones. And then we're going to have, since they're both together, we've already discussed that we're going to have the statues of two hands coming out of the ground and holding each other's hands, while one of the headstones has an ascot wrapped around it, and the other one has a long, luxurious beard on it.
Uh-huh. I need to rewrite my will now. Continue.
Yes. Yes, you should. I think on those headstones, going back to your peeps, is going to be better food living through science. Because with Oreos, and now peeps have taken up where Oreos have completely dropped the ball. Everything that you taste with the new, all those flavored Oreos, they don't taste at all what they're advertising. When they first started off, oh my God, they tasted so good because you could taste exactly what they were going for. But now Peeps has taken over that gauntlet. Peeps is out there. You think of a flavor, there's the Peeps equivalent of it.
Mm-hmm.
They are crazy.
Wait, are you telling me you have not tasted the Oreo Peeps?
No, I have not. Oh, I haven't had Peeps in ages, but whenever I go by and I see Peeps, I'm always very impressed with the crazy flavors, hence the Oreo comparison.
So I tried the Oreo Peeps. They're quite good.
Okay.
You should give them a shot.
Do you heat them up in the microwave?
No, man. Eat them like a regular Oreo.
Why would he? Oh, so it's an Oreo with Peeps inside.
Yes.
I thought it was a Peep with Oreos crushed around it.
Oh, that sounds good, though.
That does sound good.
How do we get that?
I'm sure they'll cross-pollinate with Oreos and make that happen.
All right, so I just bought Mr. Brisson's Ghost Rider run, so we shall see.
Oh, just wait till you see the colors in that book. My God, I don't know who's doing the digital coloring, but my God, does it pop. It's he or she has studied color theory because those colors are popping next to each other.
Mm.
And it's good. It has Danny and Johnny.
I like the art. The colorist is Jason Keith.
Oh, brilliant. I'm going to have to start following him. Put him up in the lexicon. What? Do they not know you're podcasting? What the heck?
Oh, it's Zoe. I wish there was a way to bring Zoe into the podcast.
Oh, I would love it if she... Are you kidding me? I would instantly mute myself and step down just so I could listen to the podcast. That would be the best.
See, what we should do is get rid of Skype. So Zoe and I use Jitsi to video chat.
Mm.
Because I'm not a fan of Zoom, because Zoom is the devil.
Ooh.
I know everyone else loves Zoom. I like Jitsi.
Okay.
Jitsi Meet. It's free, and it's open source.
Nice.
Which means Satan doesn't... anyway, who cares?
Wow.
What? Who said that?
Hot take.
Hot take. Maybe next time we should do Jitsi, and then we can bring Zoe into the podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think you even need to download anything. It's just a link.
Fancy.
Yes, very fancy. So, man, I had to make some tough decisions today, Nick.
Oh?
Yeah, I had to make some tough decisions at work. I had to demote some people. That's not a good conversation to have.
What? Yes. I thought they wanted you to hire all these people.
Listen, so I thought. But, you know, there's only so much budget that you have, Nick.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And in order to make this budget work, I had to demote some people. That was not a good conversation.
Wow. I didn't even think that was plausible.
Well, I did not either, but I have to keep by my budget.
Wow.
Mm. It's very tough. It's tough being this guy in a place. And I don't know if I want to talk about this. This might get too anti-capitalist.
Uh-oh. Well, you are the budget man.
Man, so yesterday I threatened to quit. So that also went well. And of course they were not letting me quit. I received, because you know my new boss loves texting.
Oh God. Okay.
Which I assumed was great at first. Instead of getting, you know, 50,000 emails that I don't read, I'll just get like some texts.
Right.
It's like I'll read those. But no, there's like incessant. And there's always something going on because of Corona Chan. I don't know if you've heard of this. This new band, Corona Chan.
Oh, nice.
It's the hottest new K-pop group. And so so I get incessant messages about that. And so finally, you know, what's today? Wednesday. Was this was Monday night. We're going to have there was a rescheduled corporate visit last month because of you know, the Corona Chan tour of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was rescheduled on, you know, indeterminate time. And for some reason, they decided it was going to be yesterday. And I'm thinking to myself, like, we just started the lockdown, like, Monday in this state, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, when everything's cool, like, you cancel, now we're on lockdown, you, like, want to do stupid shit and show up? So I was like, I gave some points, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to – tomorrow will be my last day. And the reply was, what? And I said, dude, you are incessant. Like, give me a fucking break. I'm at home.
That's the problem with texting.
Yes.
That can go on 24/7.
Well, and I can't just, I mean, I could block him, but I can't block my boss.
No, but you could, but how can you also let him know, like, hey, I don't want to talk about work after 5 p.m.?
Yeah, like, even let's say 6 or 7. Like, I'm cool with 7.
Ugh. You're very nice.
I'm cool with, well, I mean, I manage a team, so like,
sure,
you know, I understand that I need to make certain adjustments.
Sure.
So like, I'm okay with 7, but like, there is nothing possible in the world that can happen between 7 and the next day at 8 a.m., 7 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
that like, you have to get in touch with me right now.
Right.
Or like, you ask me a question at 8 o'clock and I don't reply, and then I get like a text at 9 or 10. And then one at like 6:30 in the morning and 7.
Oof.
Like, bro, I saw your text. Like, I'm not replying because I'm ignoring you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Anyways. So,
Ooh, Corona cough. I heard it.
Yeah, you heard that? It's my my Corona Chan chant.
Oof.
My Corona Chan chant. I'm supporting my favorite K-pop band. So,
He didn't allow you to quit. Is that what you're saying?
So I got,
or at this point, are you the boy that cried wolf in that company?
No.
You've threatened to quit to the female boss, to him, to the boss before that.
Here's the thing, Nick. I think I've mentioned this on Twitter at some point in the past, and I try not to make like a point about it because I don't want anyone to be like, this guy's so woke. Because I hate that fucking phrase. You know what I mean? Like, I think people that say they're woke or think are woke are like the dumbest fucking people in the world. Okay? Put that on a plaque. You can quote me on it. I'll allow it. What's the Creative Commons license? Okay? All yours. So I hate that. Right, so I don't like to make like political statements usually, even though I do sometimes. I don't like to make like cultural statements, like that kind of thing, publicly, or at least on social, right? Like on the podcast, it happens because like we're having a discussion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like when you're just shouting into the ether, like it's useless. You know what I mean? So I don't like to make those statements. But like there has to come a point where like if you know something isn't being done correctly, like you need to fucking say something, you know what I mean, and do something about it.
Sure.
And this is why I hate people that are quote unquote woke, because they're like, oh, fucking whatever, like what's one? Oh, like everyone quit driving their cars because like people are closing global warming. Fucking I don't know, something about Donald Trump, like his orange penis or whatever. I don't care, something. Or like Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, whatever. Who cares? Pick a political figure.
Sure.
But all they do is just like shout into the ether. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to get attention for something. Those people like never actually do anything to try to make some kind of change, right? They're just fucking complaining to people they don't know. And I hate that. So, you know, the more I do this, the more I try to be as true to myself as I can. The more I try to make a statement that maybe will cause some people to be like, oh, wait, like, what's going on? Maybe, like, we shouldn't be doing this. And this is true at work for me over the last couple of weeks. In fact, I just had the discussion with my wife because she's got her boss. My wife has to go into the office. They're all working from home.
Right.
My wife has to go into the office to pick up the company mail, and then like any mail that's for her boss, she has to mail out to her. Okay, like does that make any sense to you? All right, this is a very small example, so just stay with me.
Okay,
very small example. So her boss wants her mail. My thing is, why don't you just set up like mail forwarding? Right, isn't it more efficient just to have the fucking post office that already has your mail send you your mail to the right place? Seems like it makes sense to me. Right. And then we got into this conversation that led into like why, because she was complaining about she's got all these ideas for work, but she gets shot down a lot because management wants to do things like in a very old fashioned way. Right. And like, you know, it's 2020, bro. Right. Like, why are you still paying your bills with a check?
Yeah, we're woke now.
Right. Yes, we're all woke now. Episode title. Where's my bell? why are you still paying your bills with a check? Like, you can set all that up through your bank. They will even mail a check if you want them to have a check.
Yeah. Right?
And, like, you don't do anything. Like, the bank does it for you.
Right.
So why are you wasting time doing this kind of stuff? So stuff like that. And so I went through this whole experience with her where many years ago I had this very bright idea for work. How should I put this without saying what company I work for? I was told that my name was not on the letterhead, and I was supposed to do things this particular way.
All right. How do we work around describing this without them figuring out what you worked for? You wanted to turn the swish upside down on the tennis shoe. Does that help? We didn't say the name. I think that's cloudy enough for him.
Look, I work for a Fortune 100 company, so there's 100 companies I could work for.
Right, and you wanted to flip the swish.
Look, whatever you want to call it. Whatever you
want
to call
it. They were like, no, the swish goes up, not down. They're like, let's flip it, bro. We're woke now.
And they're like, no.
Right.
The name of the company is not... how do you work my name into that? You can't.
It's not Ferretti Nike. It's Nike. It's the swish.
Anyway, so I was told...
Ferrettiize it.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to Ferrettiize it. Anyways, I was told my name was not on the letterhead, and therefore I needed to do it the way that I was told to do it.
Wow. And was this a meeting?
This was a meeting.
wow, I hope you got up and walked out of the meeting room and gave everyone the bird. Fuck off.
Man, you are good. Here's exactly what happened.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that's almost like saying, like, patting you on the head and, like, asking you to sit in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off.
So this is the same company I currently work for. Wow. This would have been, this was before I met my wife, so I guess 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My exact reaction was, I stopped what I was doing. I put my pen down. I stood up. I looked at the person that was holding the meeting. I told them they could go fuck themselves. And I walked right out the door. And I started driving home.
Yeah, why not?
And I got a phone call. Where are you at? I said, what do you mean where I'm at? I just told you to go fuck yourself. I left. I'm done.
So this phone call was from the person you told to fuck off?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
And anyways, so they...
At that point, I would have been like, are you calling to apologize to me? Because who the hell cares where I'm at?
Well, so this person was like, oh, just come back. We'll talk, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, fine. I'll be there. So I turn around. I go back. And we have a conversation. This person apologizes. And wants an apology from me.
Wait, did they apologize to you in front of the room, the meeting room you walked out on?
Nope, it was a one-on-one meeting.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good.
They apologized to me, and then they want an apology from me to them.
In what way?
Because I told them to go fuck themselves.
But wait, were they bringing it up in the guise of like, now don't you have something to say to me?
Yes, exactly.
Fuck off. That's what I would say. Yeah, you can go fuck yourself one more time.
Anyway, so this person wants an apology from me. And I very politely said, I am not giving you an apology. I said what I said, and I meant what I said. You were out of line. If you have a problem with anything I say, you can approach me individually. Okay, but we're in a group setting. You throw this bullshit, I'm done. And so I left. I accept your apology. I am not apologizing. Well, and then I got the, I'm your supervisor, blah, blah. And I said, I don't care who you are.
Right.
Anyway, so I did not apologize. And I got a raise, actually, out of that. So I still work for the same company, by the way. I've been with this company for 9 years, so almost 10 years.
I know you've had ups and downs with them.
Many ups and downs. The true roller coaster is my professional career.
Definitely.
And I remain there, I do not know. But
whatever happened to your previous boss? Where is she now?
Great question. I don't know.
Really? Because I didn't even know anything happened to her. You just started to talk about him, and I'm like, what happened to her?
Yeah, I just got this new guy, and I never asked because I don't care because I don't like the other one.
So bizarre.
Yes. But anyways, my current boss and I had an interesting conversation yesterday when he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had auditors there because, you know, we have our quarterly audits. And he's like, has he said anything to you about the audit? I said, no, he and I don't get along. And he was very surprised because apparently, like, they know each other from some previous company they work for.
Mm-hmm.
So they've known each other many years and they're good friends. And good. And he's like, why not? And so I proceeded to tell him the story of when he accused me of rigging my paperwork. Which led to me having to get a written apology from one of the vice presidents of the company before I sued the living shit out of him. Anyways, I'm in a great mood today. Can you tell?
So I just need you to tie up a few loose ends with this conversation. Did they bring in all those idiots to do walkthroughs during this lockdown shutdown? Because obviously they bring in the auditors, even though it's a lockdown shutdown. Did they bring in the people to walk through?
Yeah, I had like 5 corporate people in my place.
Jesus H. Christ. I mean, people. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Crazy.
Anyway.
Did you hear what MLB is supposedly doing?
Mm-mm.
With baseball?
Here we go.
Yeah. Supposedly they're trying, my mom lives in Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
And Phoenix is one of the few cities that has like 17 ballparks for like spring baseball.
Mm.
So they're trying to pass, Major League Baseball is like trying to wiggle something out with Arizona supposedly to have the entire season down there. So they're going to house just the players, not the families. but just the players in like two hotels. And then they're going to quarantine all of the workers of those hotels. So there won't be workers going back to the family and infecting them, or the family infecting the worker, the worker back to the hotel. So they're trying to like close everything off. And my mom's telling me all this, and I just interrupted her and was like, who do you think is paying who more money? Is it the city of Phoenix trying to get in all of the baseball players, or is it baseball trying to find one location that they can hold all their games? And since everyone's sitting at home doing nothing and dying for sports to be on TV, holy Christ, could baseball make a big comeback from this? But it was like, that is just so ridiculous. I'm like, there's no way that's going to happen. No way that's going to happen.
I mean, logistically, how does this work? Does a Major League Baseball become like the NBA Jam of sports? Because like baseball takes like all fucking day to play a game. You know what I mean? Like you can't have like three games in a day.
No, but there's like 17 parks. So right there's 34 teams playing.
Oh, I see.
And if the baseball parks are empty, they probably can whip through those games and have a, you know, an afternoon game and a night game.
I see.
You could, I mean, you probably could fit all of the games in, but Jesus effing Christ. I'm just like, what the hell are we doing? I guarantee you the Players Association will be like, hell no. You understand what we have? Guaranteed contracts. You know what that means? We are guaranteed that money whether we play or not. That's what that means. So why would we do this?
So, are you trying to get me to go on like an anti-capitalist rant right now? Is this what's happening to the show right now? Is this what's happening? I used to be a communist, well, a socialist, many years ago. When was this? This would have been early college. I think everyone goes through like a socialist phase, right? I was like way into it, bro. Like I wrote like a 40-page paper for fun, like as a side project. Matter of fact, I might still have it somewhere. I gotta look. I might still have it. I was like all into it. But here's the thing: like then you grow up and you're like, okay, like certain things you can't like just don't work, right?
Sure.
But you also realize that like certain things are just fucking broken, regardless, right? Whether like possible alternatives are feasible or not is irrelevant. Some things are just inherently broken. And this is one of those things. You know what I mean? It's like this whole stimulus package thing. I mean, I hate to break it to anyone that's like super happy they're getting $1,200 from the government to last them for like 6 months. But like it costs you like $63,000 per taxpayer to do this. And guess who's paying that? You're fucking paying for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So all that's happening to you is you're going $61,800 in debt. That's all that's happening right now. And all they do is just like print money to bail businesses out. And what do they do with the money that they get? They fire people because they got to cut costs. So it's all bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a broken system. And this is true for like this thing here with the Major League Baseball. Like just fucking don't play, dude. It's fine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's fine to take a year off.
Right.
The problem is, like, everyone just wants everything to go back to normal, Nick. Because normal was so great.
No, it wasn't.
Normal is so great. Everyone always tells me. Dude, I hear this, like, six times a day. Oh, I can't wait for things to go back to normal.
Who wants normal?
I mean, not only that, like, we're essential employees. Like, there's no difference between now and before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so like, right. What do you mean normal? Like, you're living the same fucking life. You have a job. Like, we're getting bonuses, like, every fucking minute of the day. Just fucking, like, you know, go with it. But, like, I've been talking to my wife about this since this whole thing started. Since, like, bigger cities started going to lockdowns, for example. Don't you think, Nick, that it just makes more sense to just shut everything down? For like two weeks.
You brought this up last week. I don't see how anyone could do that.
Right, but
it sounds great. But I mean, let's be honest. Most of the people I know have locked themselves down. Like I might get grocery delivery service, or I might go out every 2 weeks to get groceries. but I'm not going out any other time. It's the dumb fools, especially like my nephew. He's in college. He still wanted to go to spring break. He was so bummed that his parents wouldn't let him go because a big group of people were going to go. And it's like, why are you doing that? No.
Yeah, Reagan just had this talk with her best friend, because her best friend and her family just went to Gatlinburg for the weekend.
Oh, that's great.
And apparently, like, Reagan was reading me the text conversation. It was hilarious. I wish I had a copy in front of me that I could read to you. Because, Reagan's a little bit of a germaphobe, right? So she's already cautious to begin with.
Yeah.
With this thing, like, she's super cautious.
Right? Yeah, off the scale, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so she's like, hey, so, like, what have you been up to? I haven't talked to you in a couple of days. She's like, oh, yeah, me and my family went to Gatlinburg. She's like, oh, in the middle of quarantine. She's like, yeah, it was, like, a ton of fun. There was nobody there. She's like, maybe it's because everyone's fucking quarantined and asked to be stay at home. And see, here's the thing, Nick. Like, this is exactly why, like, all this bullshit is happening. Because people are so fucking stupid, they just continue doing their everyday thing.
I know. I watched the wife and I every once in a while in our YouTube timeline, we'll get hit with, like, people that are after certain things, you know, on a quest for stuff. And one of the people that we were watching, they're big into, like, Funko Pops. So they went out the first week of being quarantined. I think they're in Kentucky or Ohio, maybe. And the first week of quarantine, they're out because there's some Chase Pops. They're out at a mall running around. Then they went to like three stores outside of the mall. And they were amazed at how dead it was. And they felt like, oh, this is okay. And it's like, no, it's not. It's because you're out there, like, talking to the GameStop employee. Like, no, you're part of this issue.
That's what,
like,
I'm saying.
You don't need that Funko Pop. It's a Funko Pop. Like, if somebody catches this, and then all of a sudden they get it because they're out getting groceries or toilet paper. You know what? It is what it is. Like, okay, I get it, but at least that's, like, very essential products. But to be out for a Funko Pop or to be out at Gatlinburg, what? Unless you're just hoping that you catch it, you survive, and then it's like, well, I'm pretty sure I won't re-catch it, so now I can go out to any store because I'm immune to this, right? Like, that's the only carrot on a stick I could ever, but that's insane thinking.
See, and here's the thing, though. Like, it's tough, right? Because people get used to, like, performing certain habits, and they just want to continue those habits, right? And I think especially in a situation...
But that's the normalcy that you're talking about.
Yeah, but I think especially in a situation like this, where you're being asked to stay home, you're not being forced.
Right.
Right?
Yet.
You're being asked to stay home. Well, I mean, if these dumbasses keep going out, then we will, right?
Right.
Go to our conspiracy. You'll hear all about it.
Or just not testing everyone and be like, look, the numbers are going down. Yeah, that's because you're not testing.
Well, right.
Of course those numbers are going to go down.
Sure. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
So my wife and Reagan, like, just are not going outside.
Good.
Okay. They're in the house all day. Like, they'll go and walk the dogs at lunch, and then sometimes we'll go walk them at night as well. But, like, that's around the neighborhood, right? They're, like, not leaving the subdivision.
Yeah, we go out for walks, and if somebody's coming towards us, we won't even get within 8 feet. We instantly cross the street. Like, we are so quick, like, a block away, because I'm worried about my wife.
Right,
I'm worried about my loved ones. So, like, why would I... And I heard Adam Sandler, he was talking to David Spade on that Lights Out. Now David Spade is doing, like, remote Skype sessions with, like, comedians and guests. And he had Sandler on. And Sandler said he was out walking his dog, and the neighbor's dog came up to him, and they started to... And Sandler was like, can you move your dog away? We don't want your dog 8 feet with it. Can you... And he was, like, screaming at the neighbor, and the neighbor walked by and was like, you're crazy. And, like, I'm trying to keep everyone 8 feet away from each other. Like, now I'm crazy. Now I'm nuts.
Right, right. So I went to, because I'm essential, I'm out.
Yeah.
And so obviously I'm running all the errands.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I get, like, a thousand texts a day with things that I need to pick up.
And that's just from your boss?
my home boss. My home boss. I get a bunch of texts.
Is it just a group chat?
No.
You, your wife, and your boss is like, yeah, pick me up some toilet paper too. Thanks, Martin.
I did find out my boss is a WWE fan, which I did not know.
Nice.
Because I ran out to get coffee and he was parking his car and
did he give you a Stone Cold Stunner?
No. So I went to his car and I was like, I'm gonna run and get coffee real quick. Do I have a few minutes? He's like, yeah, go ahead. And he had a WWE logo like on the back panel of his company car.
What?
Yes.
On a company car.
On a company car.
What the fuck? I can't even put a sticker on my company laptop when I was at work. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, for real. Wow. Anyway, so I'm doing all the errands, right? Uh-huh. Which is fine. Like, I don't mind.
Sure.
And so I went to the store. Okay, and this goes to my point. Like, people just want to continue their normal thing. And I think especially when people feel like claustrophobic because they're at home all the time, it seems like they want to do the normal thing more than were things normal, quote unquote normal.
Sure.
Right. So as an example, I go to the store. You know, you're only supposed to be out to like buy essentials.
Right.
Right. Well, I go to the store. I see people buying like stupid shit, like discounted shoes at the store. Mm-hmm. Like that's all they're there for, right? Is to like buy the discounts. Or like I go to the checkout line. The poor cashier is very politely talking to this lady who is adamant that her coupons be taken because she knows the company policy and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, lady, like the world is fucking ending and you're worried about a goddamn coupon? Like, get fucking real, dude.
Did you just slide her over $2 and be like, there, that covers about four times the amount of that coupon?
So funny you say that. So this goes on for like 10 minutes.
Oh, God, the worst.
Okay. So, and they're busy, right? So all the lines, they have people in them. And I'm stuck in this fucking lady's line. And I mean, none of the other lines are going any faster because everyone's just like, you know, has three buggies full of toilet paper.
Right.
So this girl was like 17, you know what I mean?
Sheesh.
Like, leave her the fuck alone. And the other thing is like, why don't you just call a manager? You know what I'm saying? And like have the manager fix it.
Who knows? Maybe she is the manager. You don't know.
She might have been.
Yeah. And at 17, you never know.
So I think the problem was like there was something with the coupons. I don't know what the policy is at this place.
Yeah, who cares?
But there's something with like the printed coupons, and she had some like other rewards. I don't fucking know. Something with coupons that she couldn't use like the two coupons per item that she had.
She couldn't double them up.
Yeah, so I guess the policy is one like manufacturer coupon and one in-store coupon. That's what it is. One manufacturer coupon and one in-store coupon.
Sure.
And this poor cashier could not get both of them to work at the same time.
Oh,
okay?
God.
Like, she could do either the in-store coupons or the manufacturers. But, like, if she did one and tried to do the other one, it said not allowed.
Oh, boy.
Right? And so this is going on. And so apparently, like, it has to be, like, the total of the transaction. Like, I don't know. There's something, I don't know. I don't fucking know. Something about these coupons was not adding up, okay, to this fucking couponer lady. And this poor girl, probably making like $8 an hour, $7, I don't know how much they get paid at the supermarket, it's just having to deal with this retard. And the lady knows all about the company policy. And she's going to call corporate and complain, this and the other. And so I just told the girl, just put my stuff on the bill and I'm going to pay for the whole thing. So I paid for this retard stuff just so I can get her the fuck out of this line.
Oh, my God.
And it was, I don't know.
And she was so happy she gave you a kiss right on the lips.
Yeah,
right,
she was like, oh, thank you, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, no problem. I mean, it was like $21, 21 and some change. And it was like, dude, she had fucking like dog food. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like she had a bag of dog food and like a bunch of individual things of dog food, like wet dog food and some other pet item. And had coupons for like all these things.
I get, like, you know, a lot of people, they don't have two nickels to rub together. So I get, like, saving as much as you possibly can. It sounds to me the error of this story, the cashier should have just called over the manager.
Well, yes.
Let the manager handle it. You step back and, like, guess what? Give them three times the amount of coupon. Go ahead. But you're the manager's the only one that has the override, you know?
Sure. Maybe.
That was dumb.
Maybe. I don't know. The point was, this poor girl could not, the coupons did not work together. Okay, that's the point. And this is what the girl was trying to explain to the couponer, that you cannot mix these coupons together. And the lady did not care because the company policy is one store coupon, one manufacturer coupon per item. And that was not happening.
Well, it's very generous of you to pay for it.
Well, I want to go home.
I get it.
You know what I mean? And, like, it did not look like this lady was hurting for money, right? Like, I didn't see in the parking lot what she was driving. But, like, she seemed very well put together. You know what I mean? Wow. Like, this wasn't some crackhead, like, trying to get over on somebody.
So it was just some cheapo.
I guess. I think, like, part of the couponing thing is just, like, the thrill of, like, getting the man. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting free shit. Like, that's my assumption. I don't use coupons. My wife does. I refuse to use them.
Getting one over on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's my assumption, right?
Yeah.
And
can I ask?
And that's fine, because she got me to pay her a bill, so she can get the fuck out of my line.
Yeah, but she won. At the end of the day, she walked out of there like, got them all.
No.
And I got my coupons back, because now I can use them again.
The cashier won, because she was very grateful that I got the lady out of the line.
Oh, I'm sure, but in her head is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure, and that's fine. You know, whatever makes you feel better.
Okay. So have you been going out, have you been doing your grocery in and shopping and whatnot every week, every other week? How has it been going?
So if it were me, I would be going every 2 weeks.
Sure, but it isn't.
Because I plan, because I do most of the cooking, I plan all the meals in my head. I used to like make lists for shopping and it just didn't work out for me. Like I ended up buying more when I made a list. So I quit making lists. And I just plan it out in my head. I do my little tree that I've talked about before. Mm-hmm. And I just get those items, right? And when I go shopping, like, I spend nothing, dude. I spend, like, $80 when I go to the grocery
store. So
have you
been going out every week, then?
Well, now I'm going, like, three times a week, probably.
Have you seen the supply chain of, like, toilet paper and, you know, all the stuff that's really hard to find? Have you seen that starting to come back?
No, man.
Or is it still crazy?
I've seen a couple places with like no toilet paper for like a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been that way here for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find stuff. So.
Yeah. And I know some places are doing like no refunds on toilet paper right now.
Well, yeah.
Because I think people are starting to realize like I don't need 3,000 rolls of toilet paper. And they're trying to take them back. And they're not taking them. But no, I mean, like,
and they try to sell them on Amazon for $45 for a 4-pack. Well, and they realize, oh, Amazon shuts us down.
Yeah, they can't do that because Amazon shuts them down. But no, and the thing is, like, as long as it's just like toilet paper and paper towels, like, I think it's fine. My concern is more like when stores are starting to get restocked on food.
For sure, especially like fresh fruit and produce.
Yeah. Yep. Because I know eggs are a problem right now.
Yeah, I know.
I
live on freaking eggs.
Yeah, egg prices are like 300% what they were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and then once all this goes by, then all of a sudden the egg producers will reduce that cost by 200%. Mm-hmm. So they're still up 100%.
And let me tell you, I drive a pickup truck. I have a Dodge Ram. Mm-hmm. And this thing is great for gas. Like I filled up today on $29.
Nice.
And this is like a 25 gallon tank.
So during this necessity shopping trip that you just went on your way home, did you swing into how many corn dogs and chili dogs did you get as a necessity on your way home?
I got two today.
Hell yeah.
I got what did I get? Jalapeno sausages.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
There you go.
They're very good. Because I wanted something quick, and so I stopped by the convenience store.
Yeah, there you go.
And they always have them on the grill, so I grabbed me a couple. and they have signs on the door, less than 10 people.
Well, that's good, then.
Yeah. So that's a new thing. It's 5 people per 1,000 square feet, I think it is.
Okay.
Which, like, that doesn't make sense to me either. Here's the thing, Nick. Like, if everyone's at home quarantined, cool, right? But you go to the store, and, like, let's just take an example, Walmart, right? Because Walmart's a big store. And, sure. Like, everyone listening would recognize it.
You're allowed back in to Walmart?
I don't go to Walmart.
Oh, okay.
But let's just take that as an example. Like, even at 5 people per 1,000 square feet, how big's a Walmart? Like, it's got to be 100,000 square feet, right?
It's gigantic. And how many sections in Walmart are actually traveled? Not that many.
Right. So, like, even at 5 people per 1,000 square feet, like, you probably still have, like, a couple hundred people in there.
Yeah, and if they're all jammed into the food area and, like, video games or, you know, wherever, yeah, there's a lot of people in those sections.
Yeah, you're not following the, what's the rule, 6 foot, 8 foot, 10 foot, 6 foot? Oh, 6 foot.
There's people coughing a foot away from you. Give me a break.
Man, dude, every time I go on the line, the poor cashiers are always like, everyone, please stand back 6 feet apart. And everyone's just, like, back to back against each other. With, like, their mask and gloves. I'm like, you fucking retards. Like, you're wearing a mask and gloves. You know what's going on. Why don't you fucking go 6 feet apart?
Because they're worried that somebody else will swing in to that gap and be like, I just cut the line.
Oh, is that what it is?
We've been trained. We're army ants, you know? Mm. We're lemmings.
There's
so.
I don't want to, but the Buddhists always talk about monkey mind, Nick.
Ah.
And it's very interesting because, we really do have monkey mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As evolved and important as people think they are, they're still just a monkey.
I would agree.
Yeah, crazy. So I mean, you know, I'm out in public every day, so I see a lot of people every day. And I am concerned for the safety of a lot of these people. Because I think just they don't get it.
Are you seeing more people since the big lockdown for you guys?
So lockdown started. Lockdown started Monday at 5.
Yeah, so you definitely have a good scope of before and after.
Yeah. Let me backtrack. Lockdown technically started last week.
Okay.
Last Monday at 5, except nobody paid attention, and so the governor said affirm Monday at 5. And added stuff to closures. Because originally it was just, like, non-essentials. So, like, shoe stores. No, not even that. I don't know. Like, it was very few things.
Sure.
And, all the cities in the state were, like, implementing their own rules because they didn't think the governor was going far enough. In fact, our beaches were still open until this week.
Wow.
Just like in Florida. So, because, you know, like, tourism's big money, bro. You can't tell people not to go to the beach. You lose revenue.
Dude, we need to get our tan on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, forget about people dying. You got to make money.
It's the gun show. I got to have them out.
So everyone was complaining and implementing their own curfews. The city closest to me was one of the biggest detractors from what he was saying and wrote him several letters. And so he was kind of forced into this new rule set. And so he shut down like clothing stores and furniture stores and things like that. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was funny. So I was talking in the general vicinity of where I'm at, there is also a furniture store, probably about, I don't know, 100 yards from where I work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see the manager outside every once in a while smoking or whatever. And so I talked to him a lot. And he was saying that when the governor announced that, his company was trying to find a way to purchase like appliances in bulk. Because if you sell appliances, then your business is now essential.
Sheesh. Wow.
Yeah. And he basically told him to fuck off.
Yeah. We have a lot of our restaurants, if you don't have drive through or carry out, like you're not essential.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this TCBY yogurt place. I don't know if you have those down there for you.
Yes.
But those were closed because there is no carry out and there is no drive through. Mm-hmm. The owner of the TCBY has a food truck.
Oh.
So now they've parked in grocery store parking lots with a little like makeshift line set up. But they're still selling right out of their food truck.
Right,
CBY stuff. And it's like, you're actually closer than when you're in TCBY talking to people. Like, what are you doing? And I see tons of families lined up there last Saturday waiting for their TCBY. It's like, this is crazy. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I think
it's TCBY that it, like, I get that. I'm sure the owner of that company, shoot, they could be boarded up and closed in months. Yeah, they're not bringing in any revenue. I get it. I totally understand. And I sympathize with them. But geez, at this point, wouldn't you be like, how about if we deliver no contact home delivery of our TCBY product? And we'll just set it on your stoop, ring your bell. You've already paid for it. And, you know, bippity boppity boo.
I think the McDonald's near us is doing home delivery.
Oh, they all, yeah, all McDonald's do, because they're through Uber Eats.
Oh, is that what it is?
McDonald's also has drive-thrus, so.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
Those should still be open.
If you're a restaurant, so I have a Chinese restaurant right next to my work, mm-hmm. And they've been closed for weeks. My assumption is because they were being harassed. That'd be my assumption.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Because they always did takeout, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so the new rules are like you have to provide curbside pickup, drive through only, like all dining rooms are closed, all that stuff, which is fine. Like, that's fine. Here's the thing though, like going back to Monkey Mind, like even these rules, and like I know you're very strict with the rules because of your wife's situation, and I think that's good. But like I'm talking about just like all these normal PM, okay? Like you go to the store, right? And even with the six foot rule. Like people are still walking past each other at the aisle, right? Like when you go to check out, like you're still 3 feet away from the cashier who sees like thousands of people a day.
Hell yeah. Right?
And you know that cashier is not changing. Like the only way to stop it would be like the cashier changes her gloves out after every customer.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Or sprays some sanitizer onto the gloves after every customer.
Sure, that ain't gonna happen. Something like that. That's not going to happen. So like even through this, like a lot of these rules to me just seem like a way for people to be like, oh yeah, like I'm safe by doing this if I like follow these rules. Yeah. But like theoretically, it's no different, right? Like just mentally you feel more at ease doing that thing.
Well, I think you're just you're hoping that the majority of people will retrain their habits and be a little bit more cautious of like prepping yourself better. Mm. Like when I was going in to get groceries, this week was the first week we're trying home delivery. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was going out and I purposely got there right when it opened for me. Because in Illinois, they're doing a lot of like seniors and essential personnel get the run of the grocery store the first hour in the morning.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so I'm there right when that hour's up, going in there, you know, fully guarded, wiping down my cart like crazy, bringing in wipes. I'm trying to be like uber cautious, and I'm only going to places that are self-checkout. Mm. So then I just wipe down the machine, wipe down where I'm putting the stuff on the like belt area or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I'm wiping everything down way more than I'm sure the grocery store employees ever do.
Right.
But that's just for my frame of mind. And I know I have to be this way. But I can guarantee you 85% of the people, they have no clue.
Yeah.
I mean, even just hearing from my dad, like he doesn't even follow the rules all the time. He like the most you possibly, and I'm sure this is what governors are hoping for. The most you possibly can hope for is when people go out, the first thing they do when they get in is wash their hands. Hmm. And if you taught everyone to do that, maybe things will even out a little bit, maybe. And I can see that. Like everybody I talk to, they're always like, yeah, I wash my hands a lot more. Yeah. But do they actually, like, I don't even see people covering their mouths when they cough. So it's like, okay, maybe you don't have it, but why not cover your mouth?
Yeah, yeah. But see, that goes to like the thing I said before, and I know you don't seem too sold on it. I just feel like the only way that makes sense to me, it's just find some way where, like, you know, A through F goes to the grocery store on Monday and G through Z on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, like, buy whatever you need for the next 2 weeks.
No, you should be the governor of your state. That's exact. They should be going back to, like, gasoline shortage, when it was like your last name, you guys all go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right.
And then your last name goes Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Right.
And guess what? If you have to shut down the store on Sunday, shut it down. Yeah, shut I don't it care. Down. Like at this point, like I personally, the first time we went was the week before lockdown for groceries. And I covered up myself and whatnot, but our store wasn't even at that. Like now we restock at night and at 7 o'clock we open for seniors and essential people. So I was able to go at like 5 a.m. and no one was in the store. And it was freaking brilliant. It was great. Like everything was taken care of. But I could also see them just being like, you know what? We're going to close Monday because all of our workers that are getting paid nothing, everyone should have off Monday. And guess what? It's on us to like, but I do completely agree with go by your last name. Like, sorry, just the first half of the alphabet goes on even days. The, you know, other ones go on odd days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what the problem is too, Nick? You know, like I've lived in a couple countries internationally, so I've seen some differences in the way things work. Granted, sure. I was like fairly young, so take this with a grain of salt. But you know, I do have friends that live overseas, and I think we're just like used to quote unquote being able to do whatever you want kind of thing. You know, the typical mentality of America, right? And just like taking any kind of like precaution that doesn't allow you to do whatever you want, people right. are immediately against.
Any restraint on your utopia, you're up in arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Which, I mean, like part of it's true. It's mostly bullshit, but part of it's true, right?
I want to throw out two things.
Yeah.
I'm sort of shocked since you guys are essential employees. I'm shocked that your company, big-ass company, multi-floored company, you guys are getting your toiletries and stuff like that from office supply stores. How is your company not being like, hey, guys, whatever toiletries you need, we can get them through this office supply store. That chain is still pretty good compared to grocery stores, and we'll just sell it to you at cost.
I can get stuff like that if it's stuff we have there, right? So like toilet paper, stationery, that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, why wouldn't your company be like, hey, any employee needs stuff. Come to us.
Well, look, here's the thing. I'm not going to get my toilet paper from the office supply place because it's fucking cardboard. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't use a lot of toilet paper, right? I have a bidet. I'm a civilized human being.
You're very evolved.
I did the math today, Nick. I did the math today because... we use Charmin Ultra Strong here in the house.
Of course.
Charmin Ultra Strong. It's the best toilet paper. Not a sponsor. This is not a sponsored statement. I think it's the best toilet paper. It is very strong, very soft. The rolls are big. I looked at the package today while I was taking care of business in the bathroom when I got home. And it says on there that each roll has 286 sheets. I don't know if that's true. It seems like it's a lot more than that because these are big rolls.
Mm-hmm.
But it says 286. I'm not going to doubt Charmin. You know what I mean?
But it is very fluffy, too.
It is very fluffy. That's true.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not going to doubt Charmin. They take care of my tushy.
Yeah.
But I do use the bidet, so I don't need a whole lot of paper.
Amen.
And at 286 sheets... that means I can take 95 poops. Now, I don't know how often you poop. I poop every day. I am very regular. At least
sometimes
once a day.
Twice.
So that means one roll of toilet paper lasts me for over 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
This is now a joke between my wife and I because every time she asks me to go to the store for something, she says, check to see if they have toilet paper. We might need some, not because we actually need some, because of the exact opposite in that we do not need any. Because I bought a roll of Charmin Ultra Strong. Let's see. This is going on 3 weeks now. I haven't even opened it yet. And I think there's been three rolls left over in the previous roll for at least the past 3 weeks.
It's the power of the bidet.
Well, I mean, you know, my wife and Reagan are here and they're women and, you know, women need toilet paper for everything.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I don't need toilet paper to pee.
Right.
They do. But even then, I've had 15 rolls of toilet paper for like 2 or 3 weeks now.
I would say you're the exception, not the rule.
Well, you know. But think about it, Nick. Like, common sense. How much toilet paper do you need to wipe your ass?
I've even cut down on my catcher's mitt.
Yeah?
Version of toilet paper. Yes. Yes.
How many sheets are you using?
I don't count sheets, buddy.
Oh, see?
But I'm not a two-flusher. How about that?
Hey, that's good.
There you go.
That's very
and
good.
Also, can I tell you another conservation thing that I was heavily bucked for on this very podcast? Mm. By you and guest Craig Gunderson.
Mm.
I'm a big napkin person, as you well know.
Yes.
Because I don't like the feeling of food and or anything on my mouth, so I have to wipe, wipe, wipe. So I'm a fancy lad, as you well know.
Of course.
So instead of Kleenex, I have the little pocket squares, the little.
Of course.
And I've been using my little handkerchiefs for, of course, Kleenex. Don't need Kleenex in this house, like you with toilet paper. Don't need Kleenex.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have probably 30 handkerchiefs.
Right. Man, that's fancy.
I am.
You are the fanciest motherfucker ever. 30 handkerchiefs.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, buddy. I should take a picture of them all. You'd be impressed.
That's impressive.
Every color of the rainbow. I'm ready. I'm ready. Whatever my outfit is, boom. Let's match it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also using that not just to blow my nose, but I'm also using them as napkins, my friend.
Very nice.
So instead of using 2 to 3 napkins every meal, I use 0 napkins every meal. I use 1 handkerchief, and it goes right down into the basement, right into the wash.
See, I have always used 0 napkins because I know how to eat properly, and therefore I do not need a napkin.
Well, I highly doubt you do. You just have schmutz all over your face.
Well, I have to be careful that with my beard, because I don't
especially
want crumbs
with your
out
beard.
Yeah.
I call shenanigans. There's no way. Lies. Completely.
Listen, you can ask my wife. She will tell
you. Maybe you're using your black long sleeve dress shirt and wiping them on your arm sleeve, then I would still call that a napkin.
All right, look, there is no way for me to tell you that I will not be like coaching my child the next time. But I promise you, this will not be a coached answer. We're gonna try to do this Jitsi thing next time, and I will have Zoe come on for a couple minutes, and I will have you ask her, what does Daddy say about napkins? And I guarantee you, the answer will be napkins are for babies. Okay, because that is exactly what I say. Because I do not use napkins or plastic forks or paper plates.
Well, the other two, I will agree. But napkins are not for babies. And there's no way with that big, thick, luxurious beard, especially you being a carnivore, eating all of that greasy meat and juicy meat and it dribbling down your entire face, lips, beard, and mustache, you either have a gigantic flavor saver in the front of your face, or you're wiping it off with your sleeve, like I said, your shirt sleeve, or you're going under the sink and like rubbing furiously with your hand afterwards, just trying to get that gross smell or feeling out of your face. There's no way.
I promise you, none of these things happen.
When you go and get a schmear of cream cheese and a bagel, are you saying that cream cheese isn't all over your freaking beard and mustache?
Never.
No way.
Never.
Oh, get out of here. No way.
Let me tell you, the only time I ever have to use napkins is with like, what's that sandwich called?
Barbecue.
Like some kind of barbecue, like, you know, wings or like pulled pork or whatever, something like that. Then I will use napkins. But
maybe
like,
I just have an overactive saliva gland and I need it.
I mean, maybe.
But I like that you could call me a baby and I like it.
Hey,
I'm baby. A fancy lad. I don't mind that.
That baby. So, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this beforehand, mm-hmm. Before we started recording, because I had to install a hook in my kitchen today for a kitchen towel. And my wife was very proud of this, and it got me thinking, like, I wonder how, like, if anyone's actually changing their habits, right, as a result of this whole situation. I don't know, like, I'm sure you had somebody in your family that, like, grew up in the Depression, right? And like, sure. Oh, back in my day, like, we reused whatever. We cleaned our faces with our shoe. Well, whatever. Some stupid shit. So, like, where I went to school, there were a lot of Jewish kids in my school. And so, like, we always heard, like, Holocaust. Right?
Sure.
And so, like, I'm sure anybody, like, has one of these two things, right? Holocaust or Great Depression. Like, some grandparent or great-grandparent or something.
Uh-huh.
And maybe a listener. I don't know. I don't think we have any listeners that old. But
that are 5 years old? No,
yeah. I don't think so. But, like, somebody's got somebody in the family that, like, yeah, whatever, Grandpa. Like, you know? Because, like, they had to change their habits because it just wasn't anything to use. You know what I mean? So you got to be crafty.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the South, we have the saying redneck engineering.
Yes.
Which is basically like, you know, you're a poor redneck. How do you, like, fix your truck? Well, like, you find a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you pull out a thing of duct tape.
Yeah, you get the duct tape out or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's these kind of things everywhere. And I do wonder now, like, I think if people are starting to get the situation, then they start changing some of those habits. And the people that don't get it or are in denial of it continue to do what they're doing. But I was very proud of my wife, even though it was something very stupid, because I had not realized that I have not bought paper towels in forever. And I always made fun of my wife ever since I've known her. My wife refuses. Well, let me rephrase. She doesn't refuse. She believes in the Clorox wipe.
Sure. Okay?
And so whenever she cleaned the kitchen, it was the Clorox wipes. Like, you clean the toilets, you use the wand, and then you wipe it with the Clorox wipes. You do the sinks with the Clorox wipes and the mirrors, and you do everything with the Clorox wipes.
Uh-huh.
And this has always been the case. And now that Clorox wipes are not in, you know, very readily available.
Right.
She's opening up to, like, using cleaning products, which is the way that I've always been, because I always thought that using wipes for everything is stupid and a waste. And so I always used a rag and, like, some kind of product, right? Like, Clorox cleanup or, like, something like that, right?
Yeah, Lysol or something.
Sure.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. I think part of that is, like, my upbringing, because my parents had a cleaning business. And so, like, they had their little tray, right, like, with the cleaning products and all that shit in there.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what I grew up getting being used to. And so, like, that's the way I feel like things get cleaned. You know what I mean? Like, you use an actual cleaning product in a fucking rag.
Right.
And to me, like, a Clorox wipe doesn't feel like you're cleaning anything. You're just making it wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very proud of my wife because, like, she's actually, like, there's still wipes and fucking sanitizer everywhere. And matter of fact, she wanted to take a picture of the kitchen because there's four counters in her kitchen, and every single counter has either Lysol or a Lysol or Clorox wipe on it.
Oh my gosh.
Like a little tub of it. And, but, like, even then, like, using real cleaning products. And I was very proud of her because she, like, mentioned, she's like, I haven't used paper towels in weeks. She's like, I started using this towel. And, like, it's like super stupid, right? Like, just using a towel instead of paper towels. But, like, that's, like, a legit change of habit for her.
For sure. That's what you hope a lot of people would do.
Yeah. Well, for sure. For sure. And I do wonder, like, how many people are doing those kind of things, right? Like, you using your handkerchiefs more.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like really important to me, right? Where you start to realize that, like, shit isn't infinite.
No.
You know what I mean?
It isn't.
And actually, I have a movie recommendation, and we'll talk about this again when I do the movie recommendation. But, like, there is plenty for everybody. The problem is that, like, a lot of people take more than they need to.
Right.
Right? So the people that don't get those things have to accommodate for that change.
Like, I would even like to tell people, okay, you use, let's say a family uses 4 rolls of toilet paper in a week, even though that seems like a god-awful amount. Mm-hmm. But let's just say that. Like, I get that family, when they go to the grocery store, especially now, might be like, I'm going to buy 3 packs because next week when I go grocery shopping, the toilet paper might not be there.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have myself covered for 3 weeks.
Right.
But guess what? every week you go back there, you don't have to grab three packages of toilet paper. Like that's going to start compounding where other people can't get.
Right.
Just one package of toilet paper.
So when the next time you go to the store, if you do, I want you to look and see if you can find any plungers.
Okay.
Now, it might be different in Chicago. Now, this is a very gross generalization. And actually, you know what? It's not. People are stupid everywhere. But I think because everyone's selling out of toilet paper before anything else, People are just using whatever they have. And so they're using like paper towels or napkins to wipe their butt and then flushing it.
Yeah, that's not good.
And so now that's causing a shortage in plungers because people don't realize that you cannot flush a paper towel and they're clogging their toilets.
Right.
I'm telling you, like, plumbers must be fucking booming right now. Roto-Rooter, rich right now.
Is this what you're telling your wife when she's like, hey, bring me some comic books because I need some toilet paper?
No, but you're
Maybe I can't flush those. You know that.
I was very proud of my wife, though. She asked me to purchase her a bidet.
Oh, very good. Look at you.
It's only taken how many years for her to say this?
If only we would have taken stock up in bidets years ago.
That's exactly what I told her.
Or when she asked to take one of your comic books into the toilet for toilet paper, did you hand her your tablet and be like, this is what I read now?
No, I put that too fast, man. I don't read in the toilet.
I know, I'm teasing.
Yeah. See, this would be a perfect time for Hello Tushy to be a sponsor to this podcast. Which is probably the only place where you can find a bidet right now. But go to HelloTushy.com. They have great bidets.
Hey, I wanted to throw out to you before we leave the grocery aisle. I went to World Market, And I was looking. I was going to order some pickled onions for the wife for our salads. Yeah. And she also does cheese on hippie crackers, but she likes the pickled onions with them. Her mom's English, so standard.
That sounds good. I hadn't thought of that. I might try that.
Oh yeah, she highly recommends a good hard cheese on a cracker, toast. But anywho, I was on there surfing around, and I'm like, let me look for pork rinds. Sure enough, Martino, they had my kimchi barbecue pork rinds, and they're available at $42.
Woo!
Because they needed you to buy multiples of 10 bags or 12 bags. And I could not justify, baby, I just spent $50 on pork rinds, even though I have such a craving for pork rinds.
That's hilarious.
But just to let you know, World Market, next time you're around a World Market, swing in there, you might be able to find the kimchi pork rinds.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to know, because I haven't been able to find them.
Yeah, they have those, and they also, World Market, which they were sold out of, they also have that brand 4505 that you can find at Costco, which are fantastic pork rinds.
Nice. So,
yeah.
I will check that out. I'm excited for these. I told my wife, and I told her to try to get me, what was the one you said from Aldi? Was it Aldi? Yeah. It was Aldi, right? What were those? The potato chips.
It was like the Indian flavor.
Yeah, it was like a curry one and something else.
Yeah, like a green curry and then a masala.
Yeah, that's it. So Aldi's.
And just to let you know, Aldi, I went back the very next week. It was one of those limited, not last chance, but limited item.
Mm-hmm.
The entire, two areas that were both those flavors, three rows each, gone.
Oh, wow.
The very next week, they were all gone. I'm like, son of a bee.
Man, they must be good.
I would have bought 3-4 bags each.
I, I'm doing this carnivore thing, but every once in a while, I like to do a meat thing. Sure. I bought a bag of, what are they called? It's beet chips.
Oh, like a plant root chip?
No, these are beets.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not like Terra chips. These are beet chips.
Okay.
Man, they were so good, Nick. It's just called beets.
Wow. Were they better than the mushroom chips?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because the mushroom chips are good. They're like a little funky. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
The beet chips are just like just a little bit of beet taste. Yeah. And then like that salty taste. It was good. I love.
Were they
beets.
A little sweet?
No. Not sweet at all.
Okay. Some more of the earthy beet.
Not quite earthy.
Okay.
It tastes closer to a chip than to an actual beet. But I mean, the ingredient is beets. There's no corn or anything like that in it.
Yeah, I got this big ass package last time. Well, a month ago when we went to Costco, of individual, like, I think the whole box has like six individual bags of beets. So I'm waiting to bring one of those up to put on my salad sometime this week.
Yeah, I love beets. I grew up eating beets. And,
same here. And the wife hates them. And I'm like, oh, that's even more for me.
See, my wife loves the pickled beets.
Oh, same here.
So we'll buy jars of those and eat them.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's like candy.
Oh, it's so good.
Except
that's why I can't believe the wife doesn't like them. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, there's that pickle flavor. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, they're good for you, man. It's good for your intestinal biome. It's good for your red blood cells.
Oh, yeah. We got some sauerkraut ready to go. We have beets. We're all set.
Man, I'm about to pop open this jar of kimchi that I've been brewing for 3 years. Ooh, it's going to be funky.
Oh, the thing that set me down the World Market path?
Mm-hmm.
Last time we were at World Market, I bought habanero pickled pickles.
That sounds good.
And there is a nice little heat to it, but yet they still taste sort of like a bread and butter pickle. Yeah, so it's sort of sweet, but I mean, you know, I have to watch like my sugar. Yeah. So I don't. But you look at like the sugar, not at all bad at all. And it was all like good stuff. There was no like fructose corn syrup or anything like that.
So have you ever heard this thing where like you crave the stuff you're deficient in?
Yeah,
like people that like want like really salty stuff. You're deficient in stuff like that. I have
it's
that.
It's like you crave what you can't have, or you tell yourself you can't have.
Well, I've had this thing for fermented foods for like 15, 20 years, man. Where like I don't eat a lot of them, but if I get some, like I just eat the whole jar at the same time, and like I want another one.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if it's like the salt or like something in the fermentation process. Because like the fermentation thing is good, right? You get the gut bacteria. So I don't know, man. But I love pickled shit. Like anything pickled, I will fucking eat the shit out of it. Man, we gotta put a explicit tag on this one. I've been cussing up a storm.
I cussed as well. Tomorrow we're getting pickled mushrooms, pickled asparagus, and I want to say pickled onions, maybe? Mushrooms, I'm curious about.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that because I love me some mushrooms.
Heck yeah.
I'll eat them.
I'll ingest them.
I have a ton of fun with them. But I also like edible. Oh, wait. Those are edible too. Damn it. but I'm very curious about these fermented mushrooms. That sounds good.
Yeah, same here.
I might have to try that. I need to go into the woods.
I told you, I mean, I was raised in like Eastern Indiana. I was like in Amish country, and every meal, every like not fast food, but anywhere that you sat down at any restaurant, they always had pickle trays.
Mm.
So any holiday, whoever's house you went over to, the pickle tray was out at the first course.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just raised on pickle trays.
You know, I want to try some of like the crazy pickled shit, like that pickled fish or whatever from Sweden. You know what I'm talking about? Like the stinky fish? I want to try it. Just to like try it one time. You know, like I'm good one time.
Well, you never know. You might all of a sudden develop a love for it.
That's true.
I mean, shoot, I didn't think I would like sardines, but hey, moving on.
Man.
Those are fantastic.
I love sardines. My wife hates it when I pop a can open.
You're like, I'm carnivore, baby. Come on.
He hates it. I bought a shit ton of sardines a couple weeks ago. I bought like 50 cans of like different sardines, and I got a bunch of tuna. Oh, man. This freaking Korean barbecue tuna is...
Ooh, that does sound good.
Yeah. And if you like...
Hey, is your jerky store still open? Is that essential?
No, it's at the mall. And the malls are closed.
Okay, malls are closed.
Yeah,
okay,
malls are closed.
Okay.
But I said I was going to try to jerky some stuff on this new grill I got.
Yeah, you got some deer.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing that. I'm actually taking a 3-day weekend. I'm taking Monday off.
Hell yeah.
So I think Monday I'm gonna try to smoke some meat and maybe jerk some meat.
and then make some jerky.
Yes, yeah, yes, that's what I meant.
You're gonna jerk some and then make some jerky.
That's what I meant. I'm trying to figure out, like, I wanna take a week's vacation.
Yeah, you should.
Because my vacation rolls over, I think, in June. And right now, like, they have a pause and all that stuff. Because if we don't take them, we lose them.
Oh.
Right? Ours don't roll over.
Well, you're essential. How can you take vacation then?
Well, and the thing is, right now, because of the essential thing, they're not letting people take vacations. But I'm hoping by June, like, they'll just be like, look, we've been in quarantine for months now. Just fucking take your vacation. Or, like, something. Or, like, things will be back to quote-unquote normal. But I want to take my week vacation because I want to go back into the woods for a week again, Nick.
Nice.
I was talking to my wife about it today. So that's one thing I have that I'm planning right now. And the other thing that I'm planning.
So is work okay with your 3-day weekend?
They have no choice.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. This was part of my conversation with my boss.
Gotcha.
I'm going to be building my own longbow.
Oh.
From scratch.
Call you Oliver Queen.
So, you know, I love archery.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite things right now. And just by just happenstance, I came upon a video of a guy that built his own longbow. And I thought it just looked awesome. Like, he mm-hmm. went through the whole process. And obviously the video was short. It was like a 20-30 minute video. But like just going through the process, like this had to have taken, I mean, several days is my assumption.
Sure.
Right. And so I want to, I'm going to try to bring this into my Zen practice and, I'm going to build my own bow. I'm very excited.
Are you going to like carve it out of the wood and everything?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I got to build a tree and stuff so I can flex the arms on it and stuff. Yeah. Like it's a whole thing.
Nice. Because,
you know, you just basically, you're taking a piece of wood and, like, you can't just bend it and put a string on it.
No.
You have to flex the wood so it, like, learns the curve and all this stuff. And seems like we'll see. This is, like,
that'll be good.
Everyone listen. I told my wife this. She's like, what's happening right now? She's like, that sounds like so much fun, like, super sarcastically.
Right.
But I think it will be. It's like, you know, when Buddhist monks build the mandalas or like those little Zen gardens, like you can buy at Barnes and Noble or whatever, but like real ones, and then just like destroy them afterwards.
Right.
I want to try that with like building a bow. It seems like it'd be like a totally awesome process from beginning to end. Where like I start with a piece of wood and I end with a bow that like I don't know. It seems awesome to me.
Yeah, that seems very tranquil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm going to try that, but I think it's going to take me like a week to build it. So I need to plan it because I don't want to do it during my vacation time. You know what I mean?
Oh, you don't want to take the week and do your bow?
No. Like when I do my week, I want to go in the woods and just like chill.
I would think that'd be the perfect time to do your bow.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. Let me think about this now. That might be a good idea, actually.
Because you could bring all the equipment to your site, and then you'd have all the time in the world to, like,
yeah,
get it where
true.
You want it to be.
That's true.
No distractions? Oh, man, you'd be optimizing, that entire week.
Well, and I think what got me about the video is he used one power tool. Because when the initial shaping of the bow, he did with a saw.
Okay.
An electric saw. But I don't know. We'll see. If I go into the woods, maybe I could just bring hand.
Or you could do the electric saw before heading out. That sounds
then,
like one of the first.
And finish it out?
Yeah, that sounds like one of the first steps you'd need to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
Because then you don't have any convention holding you back. I mean, the bad thing about being at home doing it is after like 4 or 5 hours, somebody could be like, hey, it's lunchtime. You want to come in? Like,
yeah,
there's tons
yeah.
of distractions where if you're hyper focused, all of a sudden lunch will just go by.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, and the thing too is because of my essentialness, I can't like guarantee time to do it during the week right now. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I really want to do it. And then I'm also launching a project, which we'll talk about later. And that's going to take some time too. So
yeah,
we'll see. I got to think about this.
It's all good.
I got to think about this. So I watched this movie. Actually, I watched a show and a movie.
Mm.
I watched the first episode of October Faction.
What's that?
The Netflix TV series based on... who wrote that? Was that Matt Fraction? Maybe that's why you don't know. Let's see. Who wrote October Faction? interesting. Do not type October Faction because it will not give you comic book information.
Uh-oh.
It will go straight to the TV show. October Faction. Steve Niles. Okay, there we go.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, they Netflix turned this into a TV show. And
so is it horror-y?
Here's the thing. It's not the comic book.
Mm.
Not the comic book. I have not reread the comic in a while. So maybe I'll talk about that next time because I do plan on rereading. But I watched the first episode and I enjoyed it. It's not getting a lot of buzz, and I don't think they're doing a second season. Because for one, like, it wasn't marketed extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I watched some of Lock and Key, and you know, I have this like weird love hate thing with Lock and Key. Like, I really like Joe Hill.
Yeah.
But and I know people love Lock and Key. I think Lock and Key is one of his worst books.
Wow.
And Lock and Key, like, there's several series of it in comic book format, and the show is like all of them in the first season.
That's what it felt like just watching the trailer.
Yeah. So I don't know, like season two is gonna be totally original, right? Because they can't do the comics anymore because they did all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, October Faction, like, it's not that, and you're only gonna get the one season. But I really enjoyed it, man. The first episode was not horror enough for me. Like, parts of it felt very comic booky.
Okay.
In a way that, like, I'm surprised Steve Niles would approve. You know what I mean? I don't know how much Steve Niles you've read, but all his books just seem like very dark and serious and gritty, and the show has some very light moments.
Gotcha.
Not like humor, but like there's some like a little bit of comic relief.
Sure.
But I thought the first episode was good. The setup was good. I think you get to know the characters pretty well and like the general background of how things work.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I'll talk a little bit more maybe after I finish the season.
Oh, but, so you will continue it.
Yeah. I'm going to continue. I found it very interesting.
Okay, good.
And I just wanted to bring it up because I haven't seen anybody talk about the show.
Sure.
Well, let me rephrase. Very few people talk about the show. And mm-hmm. And I think it's worth taking a look. So October Faction on Netflix. It's free. You know what I mean? It's on Netflix.
Right.
So check that out. However, I did watch this movie that I did definitely want to talk about, and it ties into some of the stuff we've talked about so far.
Great.
It is called The Platform.
Oh, good. Yes.
It is a Netflix original movie, originally in Spanish. It's from Spain. I didn't check if you could watch it in Spanish, because there is a sub version. I watched the sub version with subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite thing to do on foreign movies or TV shows, because I like seeing how the subtitles never match the sub or the dub, which doesn't make sense to me. Like, shouldn't it be the same thing? Why are you translating it twice? Anyways, so The Platform. It is, so the way I described it on Twitter, it is a mix of, I don't know if you've ever seen any of these movies, so let me know as I name them. Snowpiercer.
Nope.
The Cube.
Yes.
And Saw.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you watched Saw, really?
I watched the first one? Three.
Oh, wow, really?
And then it fell off.
It did fall off. It fell off after one, but yeah, two and three are okay.
Yeah.
We talked about the new one, right? Spiral?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. Okay. My wife's very excited. Saw is one of her favorite series.
Of course.
Anyways, so that's the basic gist of it. Snowpiercer, you should watch, by the way. It's really good. Is it Captain America? Is he the main character?
Yeah, Captain America.
Yeah. And there is a TV show based on Snowpiercer is a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And they made this movie out of it that was like an international sensation that they made for like $30. Now they're making a TV show, which I think season one is done filming. It hasn't come out yet. I want to say it's a Hulu original. I don't know. It stars Jennifer Connelly, so I have to watch it. She is so sexy.
Yeah, I'll watch
it. Yeah, she's so sexy.
You just made me interested in that show.
Let me tell you, I think I talked a little bit about
Dark City, buddy. Come on. Dark City, that's all you need to say. Yeah, right here, that's all Dark you need City. To say.
Man, she was the only reason I finally decided to just dive into Alita Battle Angel. Because I read the manga of Alita Battle Angel, and I loved it. And when they were going to make the movie, I was like, eh, every time they make a movie out of a manga, it's terrible. Especially when it's live action. But the movie is actually good. And Jennifer Connelly's in it. And she just gets sexier like every day. You know what I mean? It's like one of those actresses where like when she was young, she was hot. But like now that she's older, she's foxy.
Yeah, she's in that rarefied air with Marissa Tomei for me.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just better looking the older she gets.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, welcome to the Jennifer Connelly podcast.
Yeah. Now let's talk about A Beautiful Mind with Russell.
Snowpiercer was like a huge sensation. Basically, like the world goes into an ice age, and this guy. Like, I don't remember the exact story, but this is guy, the conductor. He has this train, and, like, all these people hop on the train. And basically, like, the whole world is frozen, so everyone's dead, except for the people that live on this train. Okay? And, like, basically, different parts of society live in different parts of the train. So, like, the peons, obviously, are in the back of the train, and, like, the super rich are at the front of the train, and, like, everything in between.
Yeah, caste system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why I made the comparison of Snowpiercer, Cube, and Saw.
Yeah.
So the movie kicks off, and you're in a room. In the middle of the room, there's a hole, and it's just two people in this room. One guy wakes up, and there's another guy that's already awake, and you start learning about this place because this guy has no idea about this place. I mean, he has some idea, but like not specifics. Because he's never been to this place. It's called The Hole. The old man that's his cellmate has been here for months. And basically what you get is this. You can either go there because of a crime that you committed. Or you can like purposely decide to place yourself in this place to get something out of it afterward. So the main character made some deal where like he goes in this place for 6 months. And after his time is up, the administration, which is like the ruling body, like the government, I guess, will give him like some kind of degree, like a diploma, which he can use to get a job afterward. You don't learn anything about like outside society, what's going on in the world. All you know is like this place. And so if you look in the hole in the center of the room, you see like there's exact rooms below it, exact rooms above it.
I think I saw the trailer to this.
Yes.
Where they lowered food down floor to floor.
On a platform.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. That's why the hole is in the middle of the room.
Okay.
So here's how this works. There is a level zero. Okay. Level zero is at the top. In level zero, like, and you see these people doing their job. Like, there's a ton of people working there. Like, they're all chefs. Okay. And, like, they just cook a shit ton of food, and they put it on this platform, and the platform just floats down to level one, and it remains there for some, unspecified period of time. And this is how they feed people in the hole, okay? So, it goes on to level one. At level one, you eat as much as you want, okay? When the time is up, the platform lowers down to level two, okay? And then the people at level two eat whatever's on the platform that hasn't been eaten. And so it keeps going down. So obviously, as the platform goes lower in levels, there is less food on the platform. Okay. As I explain this.
This sounds like my worst nightmare you've ever described. This I'm going to have dreams about how disgusting this is.
Oh, you have no idea. Because like people on higher levels sometimes purposely like spit or piss on the food. that is going to a lower level.
This is my nightmare.
Yes. So obviously, as I'm explaining this to you, it should become very quickly evident that this is a very not very thinly veiled metaphor of society.
Sure.
Okay. Where the people that are higher in the social ladder get more and better things. And as mm-hmm. you go down the social ladder, you get worse and literally shittier things mm-hmm. and less things, right? Like you're eating off the scraps of the class above you.
Right.
When you watch this, yes, that is evident, but not as evident as when you describe it. Because this is playing out over the plot of a movie.
For sure. I like the design of the hole through all the floors. I thought that looked cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And there are repercussions, by the way. Like, you cannot take something off the platform and keep it to eat later. Like, you can only eat when the platform is on your level.
Gotcha.
Okay? If you, like, at the beginning, you see it. Like, he doesn't want to eat anything. Cause, like, his roommate's just, like, gorging himself. And, like, it's basically like they're in a prison, right? Like, it's a big room, but it's just concrete walls. There's no decorations. There's one window, a bed on each side of the room, and the hole in the middle. And then there's two lights on the wall, a red light and a green light. When the green light turns on is when the platform's coming to your level. The red light is when you need to stay away from the hole because the platform is going back up, and it goes, like, super speed. So the guy just, like, gets an apple off the platform and keeps it, and, like, the room starts burning up hot. It's like a sauna. And the other guy's like, you gotta get rid of the apple. Get rid of the apple. They're gonna burn us to death. But, like, you start seeing those repercussions.
So this is the Saw part.
Yes. Well, there's multiple parts where it's, like, Saw.
Yeah. But, like, you break a rule and it's, like, devastating.
Yes, yes, yes. They either, like, burn you to death or they freeze you to death.
Sure.
And then, like, you see, like, a lot of stuff going on. Like, there's people that just, like, decide they don't want to be in this anymore and just, like, throw themselves in the hole and just, like, die terrible deaths, like, banging their head against the wall somewhere. You know what I mean? Or, like, people kill their roommate because, like, if you're down on level 200, like, there's no food down there, right? So, like, what are you going to eat?
Right.
And you're, like, your sentence length varies, but you're in a particular level for 30 days for 1 month. At the end of the month, they basically, like, knock everyone out with sleeping gas and they place you in a different level.
Oh, wow.
So 1 month you might be, like, a level 2, and then next month you're, like, in level 200, and the next one you're in, like, 50, and then the next month you're in, like, 150. You know what I mean? Maybe you're lucky and you're, like, 1 month you're in level 3, and then you're level 6, and you're 10, and then 5, whatever. How all that works, they don't really explain.
Gotcha.
Anyways, the first roommate is a shitty person, and he's been there for like 10 months or something prior to this. Mm-hmm. And you learn, actually, the story that you get of how he got there is kind of interesting too, and goes along with the theme of the movie. Like, he was watching TV one night. He was watching an infomercial. It was for one of these, like, knives, right? Like, what was that knife that was popular back in the day?
Like that Ginsu knife?
Yeah, the Ginsu knife. There you go. So he's watching, like, a Ginsu knife commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What was it called? Like Samurai Max. Samurai Max is what it's called in the movie. So he's watching this knife commercial, and, like, the guy comes on, like, chops all this stuff up, and then, like, he just, like, rubs it on the stone, and it's, like, it's perfectly sharp again. And then, like, this group of ladies come on, and, like, they do the thing with the knife, and then they also sharpen it to see, like, how easy, like, and even a housewife could do it. And the guy's like, oh, man, I have to have this knife. So he, like, orders a knife. And then immediately afterwards, the next commercial is the same guy promoting a new knife. It's the Samurai Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the same guy, except this knife, like, you never have to sharpen, right? So you, like, cut something, and it sharpens itself. And then they bring the housewives, and, like, they use it, and it sharpens itself. And, like, he got so mad that, like, he had just bought the Samurai Max, and now, like, there's, like, a Samurai Plus that you don't need to sharpen. Like, he just, like, throws his knife out the window, and, of course, like, it lands on this guy that was riding his bicycle and, like, stabs him to death.
Oh, no.
And so he's given the choice of going to an insane asylum or going to the hole for 12 months, and he decides to go into the hole.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, his story is interesting. And so in the first month, they're in like level 46. Then month two, they're in like a level, I don't remember what it was, like 200, whatever, some like really low level. And then like through circumstances, he ends up getting a different roommate. I don't want to spoil that because that's really interesting. And okay. she actually ends up being the woman that did his paperwork for him to be in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn a little bit more about like the administration and how the hole works. And like she talks about there being 200 levels and this, that, and the other. Well, the next month comes around and like they're putting level 212. And she kills herself because, you know, she's worked for the administration for like 20 years and she's been told this one thing. And now she's in like a lower level than she ever thought existed. So she ends up hanging herself. And like things keep going crazier. He ends up getting another roommate. And this is when things get like from just pure social commentary to like kind of like it'll be okay. In like a weird Saw kind of way.
Okay.
So he decides, this goes back to a point that I made earlier, he decides that there's plenty of food on the platform for every level.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So like one night he, instead of going to sleep, he times how long the platform is at his level, how long it's gone from his level, and how long the red light's on, so the platform's coming back up through the levels to the top, and he figures out that there's 250 levels total to this place. Okay.
Huh.
So with his room, he convinces his new roommate that like they're gonna get on the platform and force everyone on the levels below them to only eat a particular ration.
Okay? Mm.
Because that way there's going to be enough food for all 250 levels.
Sure.
Okay. Now they can't do anything for levels above them, right? They're on level 6. So like 1 through 5, they can't convince those people. But he's hoping that like by convincing the other, you know, 245 levels that like this is the way we should do it so we can all eat. And not be like frustrated or like kill ourselves of hunger or whatever there. That like through that process, he convinced the levels above him that like this is what they should be doing. So him and his roommate get on there with that. Like, they tear their beds up. They make like weapons out of the posts or whatever, and they get on the platform. And so like they basically go down the entire way, like literally threatening to kill people. Like you will only eat this much. Right, so that there's enough for the level below you.
Sure. And
some people obviously don't react well. Like there's fights, there's deaths. They get all the way down to 250, but then the platform keeps going down. Okay.
Mm.
And it goes down to like 333 levels.
Oh boy.
So obviously, like he timed it wrong because it turns out like the platform doesn't stop if there's nobody alive in that level. It just keeps going.
Oh, wow.
So that was part of the reason why his calculations didn't work. Anyways, he gets to 333, and there's a very young child in this level by himself. This child relates to the plot because at one point there's this Asian woman who like gets on the platform every day searching for her kid.
Mm.
And that's the reason why she decided to put herself in this place, because they took her kid. She could never find the kid. She's freaking crazy. She's like Katana, you know, from Suicide Squad.
Sure.
Like one of these people. But she never finds the kid. Somehow, like, they end up going to the level where the kid is. So the mom never found the kid, I don't know. But they find the kid, and you get this whole thing about, like, the kid is the... Like, they had saved a dessert. They said, like, we're going to send a message to the administration. So they save this dessert. Like through every level, like nobody can eat it. So when the platform gets to the bottom, they're going to send the dessert up, and that way the administration will get the message that like, we're not going to take this bullshit anymore. Like, here's something for you.
Huh.
Anyways, there's this whole, when you get to level 333, there's this whole like big allegorical biblical thing. And it turns out that like the messenger is not important. The message is. And so he ends up staying at 333 and sends the kid up to level 0, and this is what ends. I just spoiled the ending. That's fine. I don't expect a lot of people to watch this movie. But I thought it was fantastic. Like, really well done.
Sounds interesting.
I think a lot of the metaphors are kind of on the nose. But for some reason, like, it just worked really well with this particular movie.
Huh.
I don't like a lot of times when movies just like, here's what's up, guys. And you know, I always have a problem with like figuring out what's happening in a movie, like how it's going to end.
Right.
And I did not expect this ending. So maybe that's why I really liked it.
Did you recognize the director or anybody, any of the creative people?
No, I didn't look at the producers or directors or anything, and I didn't recognize any actors in it.
Wow.
Like I said, this is a Spanish movie, so I'm not familiar with whatever the Hollywood equivalent of Spain is. But it was good. Like, the acting's great. Cinematography is really good. And the story's quite interesting, I thought.
And that's on Netflix?
That is on Netflix, the platform.
Okay. The platform. Gotcha. That sounds really, really good.
Yep. And have you watched anything? Because I have one quick recommendation also afterwards.
Sure. I just a quick note for anybody who wants to see an Academy Award winning movie. On Hulu, Parasite is on.
I saw that today.
Yeah. So just to give people heads up. Mm-hmm. Not sure if I want to watch it or not, but I'm debating right now. But per a recommendation from a podcast, Nerdy Legion podcast, I went and watched The Tiger King.
Ah, you finished it?
I finished it.
I have not finished it.
2 days. How did you not finish it?
Bro, you know I like to dabble. I like to take a little bite of each dessert. You know what I mean?
Well, it is a full onslaught of dessert, that's for sure.
So you texted me with a question. Was your question answered?
No.
Okay.
No, it was answered. It did not happen.
Yeah, gotcha.
Which effing sucked.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
What can you do? When somebody throws out, oh, and then somebody gave me this letter to open up only after that person passed away, and the movie or the show never gets around to actually reading what was said in that letter, that's a big fail.
Mm.
But no, it was really good.
So I should continue is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's okay. Sort of the Joe Dirt of Netflix docuseries.
All right, very good, very good. I will try to finish it this weekend then with my couple days off, and we'll go from there. I have a recommendation on a show. I will preface with saying that from my understanding, do not expect like a true life story. There is another show on Netflix called Freud that I really enjoyed. I've only watched the first episode, so I can't speak for the full series. But this is not a biographical piece on Sigmund Freud, even though the trailer may lead you to believe that it is. It's more like if Sigmund Freud were Sherlock Holmes.
Wow.
Yes. But it is very good. It is very good. So I do recommend it. I caught this like purely by mistake. I saw it on there, and you know I'm a huge fan of Carl Jung. I think Carl Jung is much better than Freud. Sorry for any shrinks listening to this podcast. Like, tiny subsection of subsection. But I think Carl Jung's psychology work is much more interesting and important than Freud's, and also more relevant. I think Freud's work is kind of like at least 50 years out of date by now. But it was interesting, and I enjoyed what I saw so far. So I will recommend it. Just be aware that this is not a biographical piece. So that may sell some people that aren't into like biographical stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, it's good. It's quite good. Sigmund Freud. Well, it's just called Freud.
Okay.
And I think it's 8 or 10 episodes.
Did you watch what was it, Dark Side of the Ring that Mr. Ronnie Barron recommended?
I have not yet. But you should put that on the Google Doc for next episode.
Okay.
Because I plan on watching it.
I did watch it, and Ronnie could not hype it up enough.
Really?
It is really, really behind the scenes. There's stuff that I learned, especially about someone's legacy and, you know, for people who don't know about Chris Benoit, wrestler, supposedly because of roid rage or CTE, just one weekend he murdered his wife and his young child. And that's all I know other than WWE pretty much wiping his entire existence from their history.
Of course.
Which hey, I get it. I mean, the guy's a murderer, for God's sakes, killed his own child.
Right.
But some of the details, some of the behind the scene footage, it was so well done. I peeled a tear twice. You can find this thing on YouTube. Just look for Dark Side of the Ring. I was amazed at how in-depth it got.
Mm.
It was really, really enlightening and scary. So highly recommend.
So it's all about him?
It is his rise and fall, and it even goes into the murder. An author wrote, and this is what I like about some, especially crime documentaries, when an author can take a very either sensitive subject or a very complex subject, and they have a way of explaining the situation or the steps leading up to that situation so clearly that you don't need actual video footage to see it in your mind's eye and see exactly what went down.
Hmm.
And that to be so freaking compelling.
All right, let me ask you, would my wife enjoy this?
I think, to answer that, I think anyone who likes crime documentaries would like this. It's compelling in a human person perspective. You don't have to be a wrestling fan. There's tons of wrestling footage, absolutely. But it's crazy to see the disintegration of somebody and the steps that they go through. And like how people could see him slowly closing himself off to like the world, whether he's depressed or he's going through grief, or, you know, you don't know what's inside his head because the guy was very private. So there isn't any, you know, footage or any interview where he's describing his mental state, but they walk through those steps pretty good. And even, like I said, I cried twice during it. And it was very, very compelling and heart-wrenching. And I'm shocked. It's on Vice. Vice was the ones that produced it.
Gotcha.
And they have other series. I can't wait to like sit down and watch them. But it's, even as a non-wrestling fan, it was a fascinating documentary.
Yeah, Vice does really good stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was not surprised. Like when Roddy brought it up, great. But when I saw Vice was incorporating themselves into it, highly recommend watching the Chris Benoit Dark Side of the Ring.
So, all right, so it's now I'm legit excited to watch it. My wife and I were actually talking about Chris Benoit the other day because she was vaguely familiar with the story. So
she will find it fascinating. Tell her don't read Wikipedia, don't look up articles beforehand.
That is always a problem.
Because you even see like Chris Jericho, and I think he was a producer. I know he's a narrator on this, but I think he's a producer on it as well. Even he, at the camera, and I understand he's with AEW now, but still, when most people like your wife sees him, they think, oh, he's WWE. But even he, staring at the camera, is like, yeah, we didn't know what was going on with him. We don't, like, even he was just like, blown away by the situation, didn't understand it, didn't understand where this was coming from. But he also went through like, yeah, people did drugs. Yeah, we drank a lot. You know, it was like a lot of the unmystifying stuff that a lot of wrestlers were just talking. There were no like wrestlers talking in character. It was just, there's Chris Jericho talking, you know, there's Chavo Guerrero talking about his uncle Eddie Guerrero and how Chris Benoit and him, that was sort of the crux of the thing. So if your wife knows Benoit, she probably knows Eddie Guerrero.
Right.
And when Eddie passed away and they went through that whole scene, when he passed away, that's pretty much what broke Chris Benoit and sent him down like a gigantic spiral. But it was amazing to like, you hear from Eddie Guerrero's wife. Like you hear from her, like a current interview done for this, not pieced together 10 years ago. And she's just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, this is a guy who is talking about my newly departed husband and he's doesn't shed a tear ever. And here he is. I'm holding him up because he's crying so much and he doesn't know what to do. And like, you just hear other perspectives and they're all like, he was a broken man, but we didn't know how to help him. It was frightening, especially in like today's day and age where I feel like I want to reach out to my single friends and people living alone just to like do a self check, you know, just to make sure everything's okay with people. It felt like that. It felt like no one had an answer. No one had a lifeline. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. I will watch that for sure this week.
Yeah. They even
did a great job of selling it.
Yeah. They go into some crazy stuff and they even talk to like CTE people and they talk to like, they're trying to dispel, like, was this roid rage, you know? So it was good. It was real good. Real eye opening.
Dark Side of the Ring.
You got it.
Very good.
The Canadian Crippler.
How many episodes, or is it just one?
No, it's two episodes. That was the problem, and I yelled at Ronnie. I thought it was one episode, and I'm like, oh, it's on YouTube. I'll stay up. It's like 70 minutes or something. Huh. No problem. It's Saturday night. And then all of a sudden, it went right into episode two, and of course, I couldn't go to bed because it left it on a cliffhanger. And then all of a sudden, it was like 3 a.m, and what am I doing up? Oh, my God. But it was real. I did not fall asleep. I was glued to that freaking TV. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I love Vice. They've been doing a series on like illegal street racing lately.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Is that the same team that went off of the, remember they were doing, what was it? Not customized drugs.
Yeah, it's same team.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And I think it's also the same team that did that one documentary on that Hobo Festival.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, they do some great content.
Mm-hmm.
Go subscribe.
Come on. Yeah, I agree. It's very good. Very, very good. Vice, one of the best channels on YouTube.
So should I watch Parasite now that it's on Hulu, or is that just a tense show that I do not need to see?
So here's the thing. I have not seen Parasite.
Okay.
Okay.
I will let you watch it before I watch it then.
Here's the thing about Parasite.
Hmm.
I don't know if like maybe I'm just bad at searching, but when everyone was talking about Parasite and then it won all those awards,
mm-hmm.
I was like, what's this about? Let me watch the trailer. And I watched the trailer, and I have no idea what the movie's about. Right? So I'm like, all right, maybe it's just like a language thing or a cultural thing. So I go and like read about Parasite, and it tells me nothing about what this movie's about.
Oh no.
And supposedly like there's some like twist where like even if you watch the trailer, like you don't know what the movie's about.
Hmm.
Like I can't, like the stuff that I find doesn't seem interesting enough for me to want to watch it. You know what I mean? Like if I have to pay for it.
Right.
But like the thing about Korean movies is that they are really well done.
They are always pretty good.
Yeah, like they're really well done. Like Korea mm-hmm. puts out some of the best movies in the especially
of
like
all genres for
all,
sure.
Well, yes, all genres. Like especially like Korea has like the best horror movie.
And great action films.
So like I know it's good, but like I want to know what I'm going to watch.
Maybe that's good that you don't know. That's the whole
maybe,
point.
Maybe.
It's like the Crying Game. Like you didn't want to know that twist going in, but guess what? You could read a Wikipedia article and find exactly out why the Crying Game was so, you know, crazy.
Right. So we'll see. If it's on Hulu, then maybe I'll go ahead and watch it because it's free.
Yeah.
Because I've had it like on a queue, but I'm just like, do I want to buy this? Do I like want to spend money? What if it sucks?
Right.
Because like just because it wins 3,000 Oscars doesn't mean it's good.
Oh God, yeah.
Right. So we'll see, man. We'll see.
Okay.
Since you brought up a Korean movie, though, the trailer for Peninsula came.
What's that?
And my balls are so tickled right now.
Really?
I cannot wait to watch this. Peninsula is the sequel to Train to Busan.
Hmm.
You ever watch that?
I've only heard of it, but no, I haven't watched it.
So Train to Busan is probably one of the best zombie movies of the past 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
If not longer. It's awesome. It's like a crazy Korean action film turned into a zombie movie with great acting and great characters and some good social commentary, like a good zombie movie social commentary. It was fantastic. I loved it. And the trailer for Peninsula just came out a couple days ago. And it's like Train to Busan, like 1 year later.
Oh, wow.
And like the whole world has gone to shit.
So it's like, it's that, what is it? 48 hours, 48 days later.
Yeah, 28 days later. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Like the whole world is just apocalypse.
Same director and writer?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. I don't know when this is coming out. I did not look it up. Matter of fact, I'm going to look it up right now. Because I thought it was weird. Like a couple of weeks ago, this animated Train to Busan thing showed up on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a prequel to Train to Busan. It's animated.
Weird.
And I was like, oh, I put it in my queue to watch later. Like, I haven't watched it yet. But I was like, that's weird, like, that they would do this. And then, like, the Peninsula trailer comes out. And I'm like, okay, now it makes perfect sense. Because Train to Busan came out, like, 5 years ago. So, like, it makes sense they would do, like, some kind of promotional thing in the form of the prequel before the new movie comes out. I can't find a release date for this. Soul Station is the name of the animation.
Okay.
And that is on Netflix. What is the release date for this movie? It doesn't say. It just says post-production.
Dang.
All right. Fine. Whatever. The official title is Train to Busan Presents Peninsula.
Okay.
But just look up Peninsula trailer and watch it. I don't think it's too scary for you.
Okay.
I'm trying to think back to the trailer, and I don't think so. God, I'm so excited. Like, let me tell you.
Yeah.
If a movie could tickle my balls, like quite literally, this would, this would be the movie.
Really?
Yep. I'm very excited.
All right.
It's like the Korean version of Romero. You know what I mean? We're like, ooh. I don't know how many Romero zombie movies you've seen, but like there's a very obvious progression in the world from Night of the Living Dead to like
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, like even beyond Dawn of the Dead. I'm trying to think what the last one that came out. What, Land of the Dead? Is that the last one? I think so. No, I think there was one more after Land of the Dead, the one that was on the island with the Scottish rednecks. And there's supposed to be there's another one that's written, but then Romero died, so like the rights are up in limbo right now.
Oh wow.
I think somebody made a comic out of it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's like the Romero thing, you know, where like you see an obvious progression of the world as the zombie thing goes on. So I liked it. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. When's that going to be coming out?
Sometime this year.
Oh, wow.
Probably when Corona-chan quits touring.
Well, who knows? You might be able to get it right into your living room ASAP.
I hope so. I bought that Harley Quinn thing, and I haven't watched it yet.
What the heck?
What's that called? The Emancipation Proclamation.
Yep.
Yep, that one.
Yeah. Dang it. Come on, Freddy.
Birds of Prey. That's it.
There you go.
Too much going on, man. You know, like.
Right. You're not sitting at home doing nothing.
Yeah, especially now. Like, I am busy at work, and they're just, like, dumping content for everyone that's at home.
Yeah, of course.
And I didn't have enough time before. Now it's even worse.
As long as you're, online card game doesn't come out with anything new, you'll be okay.
Funny that you say that. So Ashes of Outland, the new expansion to Hearthstone, launched yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Why do you think I said it?
Yeah, it's good.
You're like, that's essential.
Very good.
Somebody close my office door. I'll be very busy with some Hearthstone.
Let me tell you that I understand like people getting excited for new shiny things. So I told you that they added a new class, right? The Demon Hunters.
Yes, so it's been ages since they added a new one.
Yeah, it's been like since the launch of the game. Man, it's so annoying because everyone's playing this fucking Demon Hunter thing, and I don't know if it's just like the type of decks that I like to play, but it's not fun. Like I played a few games so I can complete my daily quests that involve Demon Hunter. Just like let me just punch you in the face and do like this combo thing to punch you in the face again. And
sometimes people want to try something else out. You know,
you've been in
the Hearthstone classes for, you know, hundreds of hours. And now all of a sudden here's something new that you can fiddle around with.
I know. The thing, and like I was excited too, but then I started playing and I was like, this class is just not very good.
Right.
But because it's new, everyone's playing it.
Right. Let them play it and enjoy it.
Yeah, but it's annoying because then I get popped on the ladder and I'm playing a fucking Demon Hunter every game.
Well, time for you to wipe the floor with Demon Hunters.
Oh, I am, bro. I am fucking ranking up so fast right now.
Yeah. So why are you complaining?
Yeah. I'm playing this Control Priest deck and it just fucking destroys Demon Hunters. Hilarious.
That's just like the new season of Call of Duty started today.
Yeah.
So you know, on the weekend, all these fools that have never tried Call of Duty but are like, oh, there's a new season. This is a perfect jumping on point.
Oh yeah. God.
Time to rank up some guns you never use.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
No, I am an exclusive priest and mage player. So, yeah. The new priest class is... Dude, it's hilarious. These fucking guys, like, basically all their cards, like... have some way to just punch you in the face. And priest is like traditionally a very slow class, right? It's a controlling class. So they get me down to like one or two health and they're like, you know, BMing me like, haha, whatever the fuck they say. And like, that's when my deck like starts playing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. like every turn I'm healing for like 10. So in like a couple turns, I'm back at full life and they're out of cards. And I'm just like, yep. Laughing away with my super slow deck. Yeah, it's awesome.
So good.
I like the new expansion, though. They've done some really interesting things. They have a new development team
mm-hmm.
for the game, and they've taken the game like back to basics, basically. So over the years, they've done like weird stuff just to make the game interesting, and like class identity wasn't quite where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this new team, like, has overhauled a lot of cards and taken some cards out of the game and like put replacement cards in where Ooh. Like the classes make sense, right? So like priest is a healing class. So like you shouldn't have spells that like, you know, do 5 face damage or something, right? It's supposed to be like healing stuff and like you make big things and you heal them. And so like that's what it is now, right? Like each class does what it's supposed to do. And for me, it's awesome because everyone always likes playing like really fast hit him in the face decks because like if you play them correctly, they outpace the playstyle of a controlling class, right? So you can climb the ladder faster, right? The mm-hmm. rankings.
Sure.
But with the new sets, like yes, the slow classes are still slow, but if you get to a certain point, like the slowness outpaces the quickness of the other classes, right? Or classes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fun for me as a player that prefers control. Because, like, to me, it's not fun to just, like, throw a shit ton of, like, one-hit minions on the board and just hit people in the face. And, like, don't worry about anything else going on the board. Just, like, hit them in the face so you can win. Like, that seems super boring to me. Yeah. So, like, I have a deck.
A lot of aggro.
Yeah, a lot of aggro. I started playing this one deck that just, like, steals all your cards. So, like... Ooh. The deck, it's a priest deck, and so there's, like, almost no, like, they're all priest cards, but there's, like, no minions. You're basically just stealing the other deck's win condition, and it's hilarious, because the aggro players get so mad when you take their shit and use it against them. And I'm like, see? That's why you should play a real fucking deck. Learn how to play a game, bro. Anyways, that's my rant on Hearthstone. Sorry.
No rant. That's awesome. Yeah. Sounds great.
I hate aggro players. They're the worst.
But it sounds like a great time for anyone to jump into it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And they changed up like the reward system. So the ranking system used to be like a 25-1, and then you go into legend. But like there's no rewards really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you get 5 wins, you get like this chest and some cards at the end of the season. Like a season's 30 days, so you're like not getting anything throughout the season. They implemented a new system where you go like, I don't even remember what you start, like wood to bronze, silver, gold, platinum, something else. And then, and like it can be quicker to climb. And there's still like ceilings where you can't drop below a certain level, but mm-hmm. they actually made it where like you play against players of your skill level, not just like based on win rates or anything like that.
Mm.
So it's a lot more fun in that regards.
And yeah.
also you get more free stuff. Because like if you get to like level 10 silver, you get like these 2 cards at the end of the season and like this pack. And then when you get to like 5 silver, like here's this other thing you win and this. You get to like 10 gold and you get this and this. So, like, at the end of the season, you're going to have a ton of rewards, right? Even if you're waiting the 30 days still, instead of getting, like, one pack, a card back, and two cards, now you're getting, like, multiple packs and multiple cards and gold cards.
Sounds like the carrot on the stick is a lot more fleshed out.
Yes, yes. Well, and they also changed it where, like, before, this only worked with legendary cards. You got your packs, and if you got a legendary, like, you wouldn't get it again. Right.
Mm.
Unless you dusted it, you got rid of it from your collection. Now that's the case for every card. So like the max for each card is two copies. So now you can't get a third copy, which makes it better because now like if I buy 100 packs, I'm not going to get like 30 of the same card. You know what I mean? Like it stops at two and then I keep getting new cards.
Right.
So the level of entry is much lower. And I think that's good, man. You know, especially a game that's been around for 7 years now, I think. 6 years. Like, you want to have new players continuously coming in, right?
And but it also sounds like it's fresh for the continuing player as well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like, you want to be rewarded, right? Like, the ranking is fine, but, like, if you have to spend a ton of money to keep ranking, right? Like, if you have to buy packs to get legendary cards, which are very expensive to create, or like just happen to get lucky enough to get one in a pack. If you need to have a deck with a lot of those to win, like that's not fun, right? Because then it's just pay to win.
Right.
And that might be good for players that are playing the entire time, but like new players don't want to do that.
Yeah, nor can they probably achieve that right off the bat.
Yep. So I really like a lot of the changes. I think this season of Hearthstone's going to be very good this whole year.
That's cool.
We shall see.
It's just like in Call of Duty, God, a previous version of it. I won't even guess what it was. But you could drop a nuke if you got 25 kills without dying.
Mm.
And it's like, who doesn't want to do that?
Hell yeah.
It's a game ender. But I know damn well my skill level, I'm never going to be able to do that. You know, so guess what? If all of a sudden there's a care package that gets dropped in that has a random, you know, kill streak in it. If 1 out of 1,000 could be a nuke and I possibly could get that, I'll bring that care package in every game, hoping that maybe this is the one time I'll actually be able to drop a nuke, even though I didn't get 25 kills in a row. It's like you have to give even the bad players a little bit of a chance. Not everybody is running a pro, you know, Twitch gaming stream.
Yep.
Give me a break. Yep. Like the amount of those people, and those are like the loud minority complaining about like game balances and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, if you think if you're hoping that a game's being made for you, you're like 7% of the audience.
Right.
And at this point, I don't even think any game company is looking at that 7%. They might buy everything, but they're not going to be there constantly. Like, why would you go for one of them when you could try to net in 9 other people that are going to buy the base game and maybe some superficial stuff along the way? But those are also the people that aren't out there on the front lines bitching and moaning about every change that possibly could be done. You know? Oh, it's tough. I wouldn't want to be in that business right now. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I used to think about that because, you know, I've been playing long enough where I have never hit legendary. I think this season I might, but I've never hit legendary. But I remember like the first time I hit rank 10, and I'm like, yeah, rank 10. Like, that's awesome. But like, it's not cool, right? Because like, you watch like, Twitch streamers or whatever, and they're always like, and you're like, it's good, but like, it's not legendary. But then you get the stats and like, you know, at rank 10, you're like top 15% of like all players.
Right.
And you're talking about like millions of people. So like, then you're like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, and you hit level 5 and you're like top 10%. You're like, oh, well, shit. Like, that's good. but I want to hit legendary, not for any other reason than like as an achievement. Right.
Right.
I've played this game so long that like, I just want to get there one time. If I never hit it again, I don't give a shit.
Right.
But just like one time, be like, hell yeah, legendary.
Yeah, I don't want any game that where I can pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't mind the randomness of a loot box bringing me something that I'll never be able to achieve.
Right, right, right.
Like, I want to get better, don't get me wrong, but there is going to be a proof to that, to my skill level, that guess what? I'm not putting in 10 hours of gaming. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to spread myself across 5 games instead of hyper focusing on one game.
Yeah, yeah.
Good on you if you want to do that. Way to go.
Yep.
But yeah, it's different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yep. We'll see, man. I didn't do the pre-order bundle this time either. Like, I haven't done it in years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's cool. Like, you get an extra gold legend, extra packs. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do it. Like, what I've been doing the past few seasons is when the new expansions launch, I'll just spend like $20. So I don't even know what that 15 packs, 20 packs, something like that. Mm-hmm. And like, that's all I get. And I dust everything that I don't use. Again, I only play Mage and Priest. So if it's any other class, I get rid of those cards and I use that dust to craft cards for the class I play. Uh-huh. And that's the way that I've played for the past few seasons. And like, it hasn't impacted in any way, like, my ranking. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Maybe because I play certain classes exclusively. And I think now maybe with these changes, that might be more rewarding for me. The fact that I, even though now you get more stuff, I don't think it's going to make any difference how I play.
Gotcha.
Because I only play 2 out of whatever it is, 10 classes.
Do you find yourself still engaged by those 2 classes?
Oh, I love them.
Okay.
Yeah, I love them. Love them. I'm itching to try this new mage deck that has no minions. It's all spells. See like how that works, because I don't think there's ever been a deck like that. So I think that could be really. Matter of fact, I played against one. I whooped his ass. But I played against one last night, and it seemed like a lot of fun. And like, you basically, all your cards are random, right? Because the cards that you have generate random spells or random minions.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be kind of a toss-up if the thing that you generate isn't useful. But to me, like, that seems more fun. You know what I mean? Like, not knowing exactly what I'm playing or the other player's playing.
Sure.
Because you get it to a certain level in a season where, like, people figure out what decks are really good at climbing the ladder. And so, like, they only play that deck.
Right.
So, you know, like, oh, like, you're playing a rogue. Okay. It's a freaking, like, oh, God, what's that thing called? A lackey rogue, right? Here we go. You're playing a warlock. Okay. It's Zulok, right? So, like, okay, here we go. This fucking and, like, you.
So, you know what cards to expect.
Yeah. You know what the whole deck looks like, right? It's just a matter of figuring out, like, when to play your counter to it.
Right.
And that's boring, right? Like, I want it to be interesting enough where, like, people try new things and mm-hmm. aren't just focused on climbing the ladder with like the fastest way to beat somebody in the
I respect it. I understand.
Yep. Roll. Anyways, that's all I got, man. Oh, I got one more thing. So I'm launching a new website, podcast.
Okay.
Totally not affiliated with the Nerd Legion Network. So purely and solely on my own. You can go there now if you want. There's nothing there. I mean, there's content, but it's hidden right now. So you can go to thealchemicalmind.com. That's launching next week. It'll be a website and a blog. And that's on Twitter and Instagram, but I don't know what those things are. So just go on the website and just pay attention, I guess. If you want to see me dive more into the philosophical stuff that I talk about sometimes on here, and some other stuff, the spiritual stuff, and maybe some psychedelic stuff. That's all going to be chemicalmind.com. That's it. That's my plug.
As long as you still bring some of that over to the Nerdy Legion, that's all I care about.
Oh, I certainly will.
Very good. That's all I ask.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Should be fun. So check that out. That's it. You can. You got anything else? Should we?
No.
Yeah, good.
Wrap it up.
You can find us on Twitter. Nick is at Nick Wetmore. That's his name. I'm at Geekvine. That is not my name, but that's where I'm at. You can find the show at Nerd Legion. Go check out all the fantastic shows over at nerdylegion.com, especially now with everyone quarantined. I think between all the shows, I mean, there's like at least 3 or 4 hours of content every day. Be sure to subscribe to all those shows. My personal preference, subscribe to the network feed. You can find that on the website or on your favorite podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, etc. And subscribe to the Nerd Legion Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. Get all the shows in one place. That's it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back. Unless go on tour with Corona Chan. Have a good night.